trying to tell you. You need two documents in front of you. Well, you need one document package for working off two of those documents. The first one is the comment and response table. And the second is the actual amendments in the on the bill, the blue, the green, the yellow, the pink, the purple, the orange, the whatever. I trust the comments were done in order of the bill, so it's section one and then section two, is that it?
Yes.
You've captured all the comments also of those that didn't come in here from oral evidence?
Yes.
Okay. All right, good morning. Let's start. The first issue is the Western Cape, provincial government. And they say do not replace or with and in section one. I understand. So where's the bill? Where's the bill?
It's in on the definition of estuary. She says that an open estuary which has been open to the sea for any period of time in the previous 10 years. She didn't like the way the definition is phrased, which, and more particularly when it comes to an estuary means a body of surface water that is permanently or periodically open to the sea. Didn't like it that way. She wanted an estuary, the definition of estuary to be confined to estuaries that were open for at least a period of 10 years. We then subsequently went to consultants, the scientists about it, and also the people manage estuaries, and they're given the explanation, which is that long explanation in the table. And it's basically saying that to do that would actually be against the objectives of the Act, because there are certain estuaries, for example, the St. Lucia, that were closed for a period of 10 years, but then open again. And actually the nature of the estuary does not change, because it still has an ecosystem there that needs to be managed. There's still salinity levels in there that make it a viable and thriving ecosystem that that is subject to theft. So the fact that it's closed for that period of time should not preclude it from being regulated. And if you take that outside the purview of an estuary, it means that they wouldn't have to develop estuary management plans for it. It means that it would escape the loop of regulatory safeguards that exist within the Act. There's a whole big explanation about the impact of the biological impact of making that system, if we disregard it. And apparently, there are estuaries that have been closed for a period of 15 years and reopened, and you can't create that uncertainty for managers of that estuary. Whether they should or shouldn't.
But it only creates uncertainty if you give any meaning to close and open. If you just, and I'm not saying we necessarily need it, so I can't remember why she wanted it, but the point is, if it's like it's done in the blue year, it has no effect. Because it just says an open estuary has been open for 10 and the other one is a closed. It's only if you go in the body of the Act, and then say open estuary or closed estuary, that will have a separate meaning. Otherwise, estuary will just have estuary meaning in there, and the fact that it's open or closed has no effect whatsoever. So you may not need it in any case because of that. I'm just saying it's not a, doesn't seem, unless you want to in the Act somehow distinguish between open and closed estuary, there's different consequences to it, but I don't think the Act does that. It just uses estuary. So, how exactly did she want it? Just tell me. I can't remember.
Wasn't evident to me, too.
It's a more scientific mission. I think that's a challenge. What they understand
is an estuary. Because you see, why I'm not understanding this is that because her other point was to accept all three, so therefore she wanted to broaden the definition and not have it narrowed. So why would she say this if she didn't have a reason? Where is her submission?
Based on our summary, she said clarification is critically important as the seashore may extend way inland for an open estuary and not for a closed estuary. Land bordering on estuaries is often of high value, and this is likely to contest it to not clarify yet. Really from a landowner's perspective that she's talking.
The point is that if you do it like you've done it, the amendment, then it has no effect. It's not protecting anyone. All it's doing is clarifying whether it's a closed or an open. Gives meaning to an open or closed estuary. So there's no legal consequence to it.
Chief,
there must be another reason why she wanted it.
Chief, the way it's in the definition now, remember we're defining what an estuary is. So in point A, it's saying it's a body of surface water. A, the one first thing, is that it's permanently or periodically open to the sea, and it doesn't matter for what period. It just must be open to the sea. That's the trigger for it being an estuary. So in other words, it must have influence, tidal influence, it must have influence from salt water, because the body of surface water in an estuary is linked to the ecosystem that happens in the sea, because there's a higher...
Now, I know all that, ma'am, but what I'm saying to you... What I'm saying to you is simply that by putting those words in there, it doesn't get any effect because it still falls under the definition of estuary, and estuary is used as a general thing. So if you don't give a specific meaning, where is this woman's going?
Okay. She also did agree with the explanation that we gave.
Okay.
Subsequently, when she considered
so
the argument,
she
agreed with it. Filing your documents tab, the email.
Yeah, but what does she say?
She says, I understand, I've read the concerns about the definition of open and closed estuaries. I understand the points and agree that they are valid. She then says, is there an extended period of time to classify an estuary as closed, like 20 years? I feel this should be tightened up if possible. It hinges on the periodicity of open estuary that implies some sort of regularity and repeatability. If it is open once in the last 100 years, that will not really fall within the English usage of the word reality. Well, he wants to add in coastal wetlands and tidal rivers.
Yeah, which part? Coastal wetland or tidal river?
Yeah.
B.
Yeah, in A.
A.
And in coastal wetland or tidal river. The tidal river will in any case be an estuary.
Yeah.
And
it is what it used to be called.
Mm. And a coastal wetland within a history is also with a history.
That was our answer.
So there's just a lot of repetition there that shouldn't really. Okay, so we agree that you disagree. Okay. All right. Anyone else?
Then KZN on page 8.
KZN on page 8.
They want to align this with definitions in the EIA regulations, and they want to bring in terms like the estuarine functional zone as defines the national estuaries layer available from Sandy, etc. And we feel that the definition in the EIA regulations are actually going to be amended to align with this.
It's not the other way around.
Okay.
That'll be problematic. Okay.
That's all for estuaries, Chair. So I can just
take. So estuaries now, what we have. You'll see on the page, the Act has pages on it, but under the definition of estuary, there's blue, which is Jenny Whittle, KZN, and those two. I didn't put the others there. So basically what we'll do is we'll just do the one change and take the and out and put an or in, which will give us a broad definition that has three possibilities to it. And if you fall in one of them, then you'll fall within the definition of estuary. And that is the kind of protection we'd want to give to estuary as wide as possible. Okay?
So the other comments on the next page for estuary, you'll see specific levels and...
Yeah, it's the blue and the two blue ones that I said. Alright, now what you didn't do, you haven't given us a copy of what you finally want.
Well, that is, that on the text, Chair, with the green, you can see the definition of...
No, I know that, but that's under Western text now. Next time what you do is you give us, under the yellow, the actual definition that you guys want. Okay, we're making it more understandable.
Yeah.
But for now, we'll accept the definition under Western text. Okay? Yeah. We're accepting that estuary definition. Everyone happy? Next definition?
The next one is the definition of harbour, Chair, which would appear under Transnet.
Well, let's do the high water mark.
Okay, we can look at high water mark, which is the next one on the comment table.
Harbour is actually there, okay, but let's do this high water mark. There's just one comment here from the Western Cape. Disagree with the proposed deletion of floods or storms that occur no more than 10 years. Following what is just with exception of annual validity will occur no more than 1 10. This year the fund view of helicopters and trailer goes to the keep it like that as a factual issue. Dr. Whittle told us. Oh, I'm so sorry about that. I really apologize. I can't help it. I'm just full of phlegm. As Dr. Whittle explained, it fits in with all this. What did they do? What they call? Nautical what?
Land.
Land survey. Okay. I thought it was something nautical, but not. Are you saying that Ms. Zimpley is here now? Okay, can I stop the meeting? Can we welcome a new member of the committee? I hope I pronounced it correctly. Ms. Nklazi. Nklazi. Nklazi Zimbo.
Yes.
Welcome in the committee. And you will definitely paid, please do so. If there are questions you have, please ask. As I told you last night at the ANC, there will be a big indoctrination. You will be told exactly how to vote and how not to vote and what to say and not to say in the committee. No, I'm only joking. We have actually a very nice working committee, nice relations across party lines and also interpersonally. I hope that you enjoy it and fit in, and we are here to help if there are any issues that you would help need help on. So very welcome in the committee.
Thank you.
Where do you come from in the country?
Eastern Cape.
Eastern Cape. Okay. Nice to have someone from the Eastern Cape. We haven't had someone from the Eastern Cape. Okay. Welcome. Okay, so high water mark. So we won't we will accept the original one. We won't take any changes there. Everyone happy with that? Okay. Then go back to the that one we agree to. So now you said next one is Harbour, which is on page?
That's the page before this one on the act. And in the table, it's on page 5.
Table page 5. Transmit. Definition of Harbour does not clearly include existing ports and commercial ports and harbours should be distinct. And commercial ports and harbours should be distinguished. Port means port defined in there. Do we want to go as wide as this? I'm happy to kind of, I was happy to align it with him. But now we are aligning it with any law managed by any organ of state.
Here we're talking about harbors, which are different from ports, and the examples of those are fishing harbors, declared in terms of old legislation, the Sea Fisheries Act. And those are managed by the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries at the moment. They may move to other departments and there may be other legislation governing them, but they also need to be regulated in terms of the Act. Hence, we try to keep them all under one port, just want to see them separately, but it's really just a textual issue. The intention behind the Act is to regulate all activities in ports and harbours.
So what does harbour include port?
No, they are now separated, Chair. We use them distinctly, but we do the consequent amendments through our.
But now, have we got a separate definition for port?
That's correct.
And there were no changes to that?
No, that's what they're proposing, and we're saying we agree. We will insert the definition of port.
Yeah, but now you see in your column here on agreeing, you've only got harbour, you haven't got port. That's why I'm asking the question.
But we're saying we agree with their proposal, so we're accepting the proposal.
So this definition of port, which means National Port Act, that one's go across.
It's not go across.
And we're agreeing with that as well. Yes. Okay. So harbour will mean a blah blah profane in any law and any fine organ of state. Port will also be included. And then you make consequential amendments where that's now made because of the differentiation. Everyone happy with it, ma'am?
Sorry. What's the difference between a port and a harbour?
Harbour is man-made, port is natural.
No, I can venture an explanation. I don't know how accurate it would be to get the experts in, but ports are basically the commercial ports where international ships come in and out, allow them, and customs get checked there, and the offloading and docking happens. Harbours, fishing harbours, are specifically where fishing vessels will have rights to fish, come in and offload.
So Lambert's Bay, Gulf Bay,
Hard Bay.
It's a harbour.
And the other harbour called fish now. It's a port of entry. International
trade. Kind of a port of entry. Is that what it means? Port of entry. No, I mean, I didn't know what it was. I mean, until last. And in the Act, we've distinguished it very clearly that clearly you can't have the same consequences in a harbour and a port, because a port has clearly got bigger and so on. There's more than a little harbour, like Hog Bay, I mean, it's basically a fishing. And you wouldn't ask them to have just let me out there.
Does that mean Devon cannot be referred to as a harbour?
Yes.
Or a port.
I imagine if you went to look at their act, you'll find out exactly which ones are all the ports. I imagine in the act.
They're not mutually exclusive either.
Well, they shouldn't be exclusive, except the port won't include all the harbours, but all the harbours will be... No.
Other way around.
All, no. Yeah, other way around. Whatever it is, the other way around. Not all the harbours are ports.
Just for the benefit of the committee, ports have a specific meaning in terms of the National Port Act. Should the committee then take the proposal? And may I just read the definition of the committee?
Yes, of course.
Port, in terms of the National Port Act from 2005, port means any port of Richards Bay, Durban, East London, Ancora, Port Elizabeth, Mossel Bay, Cape Town, Saldanha Bay, Port Nolloth, or port which has been determined as such in terms of Section 10(2). I came to the Minister as the powers by noticing the executive term of port in addition to the adjusting.
So you can add as one now. Okay, lovely. But now you guys, what is important for the law advisors and our legal people here, we're not going to now be able to check in the Act all the technical places where you need use port or harbour or boat. So you guys must very carefully look through that and make sure that that's been done correctly. Eh? Okay. Make sure that that is... all right, so we agree that we'll concede. Townsend will be so excited about conceding something. We'll use their definition on port. Harbour, we've got a definition now, and then the consequential amendments that have to be made. Okay. Right. Next definition. So let me just go to harbour west. Let's just see which one we accept here. Okay. Right, so where is this?
If you look on
under Transnet. Yeah.
Yes. Are you looking on the Act
here? Yeah.
The Act is after the definition of the west. Oh no, general discharge. There's the yellow. For harbour, underneath there is the proposed amendment and that deletion of port.
Yeah, but you see now the definition of port is not here, sir.
Port is
under P. Oh, under P. All right, that's all right. So, okay, that definition we said there of Transnet was a green.
And then you change over to P.
And go to P.
You'll find it in green there.
P.
Check at the bottom of the page.
P. Port, there we go. Port means there. And then the consequential amendment you guys will do, okay? And show us later what they are. So when you make these amendments now, when we've given you these instructions, you bring the bill back, you take out all these amendments that you didn't like, and then you leave the amendments you made in green. And then the old one in yellow, and the green. Just do green and yellow, then, okay? Right. Okay, so that is harbour and port. Next definition.
The next one, Chair, where there was an issue with the definition, is the definition of municipality. And particularly...
which page is it?
If you look in the comments table, it will be page 5.
Right. Oh, yes. Yeah, I thought that they were right.
Yes. We did too, Chair. They made alternative proposals, but when we considered the impact of what they were saying, we thought that the original formulation of the definition actually worked best. So our counter proposal is to leave it the way it was, because that would have been their problem.
That is wrong. The original was wrong.
nothing original in the book, okay, but in the act. The definition as it is in the act. In other words, the amendment that we're proposing, we're now wishing to withdraw and leave the wording as it's currently in the act.
Hey, man, I don't have that wording yet. I don't know what it is.
It's in the grey chair.
Okay.
Yeah, in the
oh, there we are. Okay. The municipality in metropolitan district that are in relation to the intended provision of this act. What does this act mean? This our act or their act?
This act. Our act.
In relation to the intended provision of this act, an area which falls within both the local and the district means the district municipality or the local municipality. Now, how did you want to change it?
We didn't.
I know you're not going back to it, but what is it we tried to do?
Look to the left, you will see the yellow municipality.
You try to add written and you try to take out local.
We wanted to take out local, and then subsequently discovered that we actually instead in this mandate. We do that.
All right, so we're back to the gray.
Yeah.
Everyone happy?
Yes.
Fine. Now, which one is that? 5.
And if you turn the page, the next one will be 4, which is dealt with. We also mentioned the consequential amendment to the port and harbour underneath that.
Okay.
And then the next definition was the proposal by the chair. I wanted to contextualize this. We put in what Transnet originally put in their comment.
On what?
On everything that they wanted, we've added India, because subsequently they said they're okay to let go of it. But for record purposes, they wanted us to put port infrastructure. They wanted us to add this definition of port infrastructure. And if you look at page 5 of the table.
5, Transnet. Port infrastructure.
Sorry, no, this was actually in their comment document. And in any event, we can ignore it because they've let go of that by now. They don't want to do that anymore. They wanted to exclude port infrastructure, which included the basins and channels.
Page 12. But this, we'll deal with this under clause 7,
yes,
when we get to 7.
This is...
No, leave it with 7, we'll get there.
Okay.
That's
in fact where the definition became an issue, but in any event, you'll...
when we get there, we'll do that.
The next major definition that was commented on was reclamation.
Yeah.
And if you look at...
Western Cape,
the Western Cape,
page 2. Page 2 of the document.
There were, Western Cape, there was the Oceanographic Research Institute and KZN that all had comments on reclamation. They appear one after the other if you look at the Act.
Reclamation.
And you need to go to page 7 of the comments pages.
For what? For?
For the comment and
reclamation. Western Cape is page 2, reclamation.
Yes, the Western Cape is 2, page 7 is the South African Research Institute.
Okay, now let's do one at a time.
Okay,
let's go to KZN. Don't rush. Be patient. We're old people. I'm an old man. You know, you can't just rush me. I become incontinent. Okay, reclamation. Western Cape.
Yeah, too much.
Okay, the first thing that they say is...
Reclaiming means the process of artificially creating new land within.
It's really a grammatical issue which we agree with. It's come out in 3 different comments.
So they just want it within the index.
Yes, which we agreed to.
You agree to it on
okay.
There, okay.
The next thing that they say is they want remove the comma in and start a new sentence stating reclaim has a corresponding meaning. And it's neither here nor there, our drafting, the normal drafting custom stating advisors can set in is the way we've done it. So we don't think that we need to...
Which comma do they want to remove?
They're saying...
there's no comma. So there's only a comma after coastal water.
It's in the next one. On the next page. They're saying reclamation means the process of artificial new land on coastal water, comma, includes the creation of an island or peninsula, semicolon, but excludes beach replenishment by sand something. They want to take off the end and they want to say reclaim has a corresponding meaning. We're saying that the threat clarifies the different forms of the word have the same meaning and is conventionally used in drafting. It's not created interpretational problems in the past. And they're proposing a revision of the drafting custom. But take your advice.
But you see, you go too fast. You must try and take things step at a time.
I'm sorry.
Look at the definition of reclamations in yellow.
Yes.
Okay? The only comma there is after coastal waters. The other one is a semicolon. There's no other commas in the yellow.
Yes.
Now, the first question I'm asking you, which comma do they want to remove?
They want to put a comma...
Now, they say remove. You always do say amend, remove the comma.
Remove the comma in and start a new sentence.
There is no comma.
Amendment is in order to coastal expire. Water. Coastal water is. They want to remove that comma.
Means the protocol of decision creating new land
from coastal
water and includes the...
They want to take up that comma.
What's wrong with take it out?
But they also...
When you do an includes, in fact, you don't have to put the and. Ask the drafter there, you don't have to put the and. You just put the comma includes the creation of land, so you don't have to have the and.
So you can take up the and...
Just take the and leave the comma.
Yeah.
Is the drafter happy with that?
Yeah, I think if you just remove the comma,
that
would also be fine.
Yeah, you can do that, but usually you don't put an and before includes, because it's part of the sentence, mm-hmm. part of the... So, let's just take out the and. But the other and, you know, the other and...
I want a new sentence there.
I suppose really technically if you really want to do it, I suppose you can put a semicolon if you've already got it. Why do you put a semicolon before but? Why on earth is there a semicolon there?
I think it's just a problem with the it's not like that in the print introduced
though.
There's a comma before but.
Right, there's a comma there.
The
and then just put a semicolon before the end and return. Then you're fine. You take out the and, you take out the semicolon, you put a comma, and you put a semicolon in front of the and then it's fine. Then no one can complain. Don't we have a clause that usually deals with this thing which it says reclamation will also mean, not the specific word, but isn't there a general clause that we use that says that if you do this, then it will also mean that in any case? Or does the interpretation add to that?
Yeah. But I think in this specific circumstance, we actually agree with the department with regard to explanation, with regard to the different forms of the use of reclamation and reclaim.
Mm.
So in order to...
just make sure that's the same thing. Okay, no. I'm happy with that. I was just trying to look. I remember there's somewhere some general way of dealing with it. Okay, so I think those are the kind of textual, typographical. Now, has anyone made any other substantive proposals under this one?
The KZN, you'll see in most instances that Western Cape, KZN, and this research institute have exactly the same comments because I think I had a workshop and a ability to submit the same comments. So I'll keep those that are the same. But in addition to that, KZN also wants to add in the words under reclamation. Excludes beach replenishment by sand pumping, and they want to say for maintenance purposes.
So they want to specify what type of sand pumping, not all sand pumping. as we have it, it's all hand pumping. They want to make it only for maintenance. They want to narrow it. Do you want the broader or the narrower?
We didn't want sand pumping to be included in this definition. Because that's dealt with by a...
Yeah, but sand pumping is there. It's in the definition. All they want to do,
yeah,
they want to...
They want to narrow it only to
maintenance.
Yes, no, but we didn't want that check because we thought that that maybe other purposes for sand pumping that would create reclamation that we wouldn't anticipate. And we would rather have a...
You see that they have to be careful, eh? They're being more careful. You see, reclamation is not a simple thing. It's a major thing. So we're saying means the process of artificially creating new land within coastal waters and includes the creation of a land of the limit, but excludes beach replenishing by sand pumping. So what they are doing is they try to be more careful to say we must be careful when we're excluding beach replenishment, therefore all the rules of reclamation are not going to apply to beach sand pumping. So they say if you do that, only make it to a narrow reason.
That's why I say the reason we didn't include it is because it's regulated activity under EIA, so there is environmental screening of that activity. And we don't see that as reclamation.
But can you see that you can create a whole big beach and create a whole reclamation of land through sand pumping? And what, you know, and you can then get around all the rules of reclamation. And if you actually narrow it only to maintenance, that means you can only maintain the beach that is there, which seems to me to be quite opposite. Did you think about that? Can we flag that one? Because what they're trying to be, they're trying to be more cautious, that doesn't create a loophole. Maybe you don't want to use words for maintenance purpose, but you must narrow it to that's only to maintain the beach as it is really. That's what I mean. So as soon as you start expanding it, then it becomes reclamation.
Chair, I think that we need to go back and talk to the scientists because there are incidences, for example, Langebaan, where there was this erosion over a number of years and they had to do beach replenishment and they had to create sandbanks to stop coastal erosion and damage of property.
And that's fine. In Durban, they do it all the time. When I grew up, you saw the dredges. They go to the harbor, they take the sand, they throw it there, and then the sea throws the sand up to keep the beach as it is. What these guys are saying, KZN, that's fine. We know there's no problem with that. But if it starts getting, if a port starts getting clever and now starts dumping so much sand that you're actually starting to create the beach now 2 meters more, 3 meters more than it used to be, that is what they want to avoid. And I think what I'm saying is let's flag that, do your consultations. We haven't rejected this yet because it may just be a better proportion to have. And we don't make it too wide. The exclusion.
In the Langebaan case, they actually had to make the beach wider. And perhaps we do want stricter control.
Well, then you want the stricter controls. You want them to comply with reclamation, whatever it is, you see.
So if you look at Dubai, they did exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
They created extra land to port it.
Yeah.
That's what you want to avoid. Or
at least let it fall under reclamation so that the rules of reclamation apply and there has to be applications and so on and so on. So let's, I'm going to flag that as a positive, but we're going to still finalize that, okay? So that one there, there's a technical stuff you don't need. So the yellow is there with all the changes, but and the word within will be included into it, okay? Fine, next definition. Let me just mark all this. This is... Now the next one is on page 2 is finished, page 3 is finished, page 4 is finished, page 5 is finished, page 6 is finished, definition of C.
Okay, Chair, this here is actually not as a result of comments, it's a typographical error in the amendment bill that we picked up, but of course after all the final documents were prepared, so we want to bring to the attention of the committee what the error is and what the correct version is. It's really a technical amendment. We forgot the exclusion of the words all marine waters, including in the definition. If you look at the two yellow versions, the corrected version underneath is actually the correct one.
The high seas, all marine, high seas, all coastal waters, and land regularly or permanently submerged by seawater, including the seabed, surface water, and by seawater. Is estuary included there? Or is estuary not part of sea?
Not
part of. So her comment was, Dr. Whittington's comment, the definition of sea now includes coastal waters,
yes,
which also include estuaries.
Yes.
It follows that an estuary could be defined as sea. That is very misleading. You say the definition of sea for purposes of the Act must include estuaries, otherwise the dumping at sea provision will not apply to estuaries. The estuary is part of sea.
In the definition of coastal waters.
Yeah, the problem is this, I'm not, the only thing I'm sitting here and I don't have, I'm not equipped to work out whether history should be part of sea or not. I'm not, you know, I don't have the expertise. So the problem is now, this professor tells me there's going to be a problem with part of it. Now, I don't have the equipment to understand whether that can be so or be a problem or not. And the reason for that is because I don't know where sea is used in the Act. That's my problem. So I need some guidance here.
Chair, perhaps we can take you through. There's two issues, the way I understand it. There's a scientific real definition for something, which is used in a scientific context. And there's a scientific term that is used in a legal context. We are defining sea because we use it in a particular way in the Act. Where we do use it, it will come up in the dumping at sea provisions. Sea is particularly used in Section 60, in Section 71 of the Act. You'll find it in here.
Give me all the sections where sea is used.
Chair, I can go and do that. I don't have it offhand. We did an informal
check. Stand over. Sea definition stands over until all sections were sea looked at. Now, what I need the law advisors and yourself, ma'am, to do is to please go and look at this now, the sea thing, and see whether we use the definition of sea where it includes estuary, not going to create problems for us, okay? Because you've got now estuary, there's certain rules that apply. Now you take estuary, you make it part of sea, and of course certain rules apply.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure that there's no contradiction, okay? Sure. So this one will stand over, and we'll just have a look at that. Question. Estuary be part of sea as it is included under B, you said. Because under part B, all coastal waters.
Yes.
Under coastal resources, coastal waters. subject to Section 26 and estuary. Subject to Section 26. Okay, so there's a certain... What is 26? Is that one wrong?
Boundaries
of what?
Of the different zones.
Determination and adjustment of coastal boundaries. Coastal boundaries of the circuit for the property may be determined or adjusted by the minister in accordance with the with section 27 by notice in the Gazette. The coastal protection zone may be determined or adjusted by the MEP in accordance with section 28. A special management area, etc. also may be. Coastal access land may be adjusted by municipalities, and then you give the processes for adjustment of these boundaries. So it's saying that, in effect, depending on whether these boundaries get changed or not, there was a whole debate about whether we should be saying subject to 26, because it's implied anyway, that if these powers are exercised and adjust, and boundaries are adjusted, we should automatically adjust the boundaries of everything else.
So, subject to 26, and 26, what it does, creates certain procedures which must be followed to create those. And why will Esther be subject to that?
If the coastal public property boundary, for example, is adjusted, and makes an estuary narrower, then that part of the estuary would no longer be part of coastal public property. I mean, it would no longer be part of coastal water, but there would have to be a strict procedure to be followed to do that. The truth is, I'm not convinced that the subject section 26 should be in there.
I'm not convinced at all. That's why I'm asking the question, because in a definition, to put a subject to in a definition is really something crazy problem. I mean, what you want to do is, in 26 itself, you deal with it, and if you there to specify specifically about estuaries, then you do it in 26. So I'm going to say here, under coastal waters, relook this. Relook that subject too. Because it is a completely wrong way of dealing with definitions. You can't with definitions make it subject to the act, where the definition is trying to define the act. Now you're making it subject to it. So that will be relooked, number one. Number two, so yeah. Say stand over, and then I'm going to say relook definition of coastal waters. The subject to. Okay, so we'll finalize this.
Where's the logo?
Are you also a law advisor?
For Parliament.
For Parliament. So you're going to tell him,
I will.
Please advise him that you guys must look at the sea thing very nice. Oh, there he is. The sea thing, and estuary as part of, please make sure that it makes sense everywhere in the Act. And we've also asked you to relook with the department the definition of coastal waters to see whether the B part that has subject to 26 and estuary, whether that subject to shouldn't be removed. And if you then have to make it clearer, you do that in 26 itself, not in the definition clause, okay? All right, so you guys will look at all that. Then the next comment?
The next comment goes to the body of the Act itself, which calls the definition. It would be...
hang on, let me just see. We will on page... Yeah?
Page 10.
Okay.
From the Western Cape, they want to propose the insertion of. They want to.
Just a moment.
If you look at 60 in the Act, there's a yellow text, after 6, which reads comfortable under legislation.
What is the South African Association for Marine Biological Research?
They're one of the commenters, sure.
What is this?
But when
we
were talking about the
climate
change definition.
What definition? There's not in your notes here, it doesn't tell you what definition they're commenting on. South African Association, page 7.
Yes.
This is not a true definition of the estuary. So the estuary.
Yeah, that, those were the same issues that came. They had exactly the same issues as KZN.
Okay. So that is all that. This under KZN definition of high water. We didn't deal with the KZN views on high water monitoring. There'd be no historical capillary drilling. Right? Okay, so that's disappeared. Then, clause, so there's nothing on clause one.
Chair, we've gotten the cross references for the use of the word C if you want to go back to it now.
Yeah, you guys can do that, bring it to us, right, just do a document, do which ones they are. In fact, the best is actually print out those sections on a separate page, and then you guys go check it, make sure that all these things we now ask you are done, and then you bring it to us next time, and then if there are any amendments that you can say, okay, well, there's no use us not checking it this time. You guys must go and do that better work for us, okay? Mm-hmm. Section 1. Adding on section 1. Oh, section 1 is
the definition.
Section 2.
The next comment on section 2 is...
There are no comments. Everyone is happy with those definitions that you've extended the objects of the act.
Nobody said anything about that.
Okay. Any comments from the committee? Seems that all it does is just to reflect the extent of the act more clearly. Clause 3, there were comments. Best in case, recommended that 6A be removed to after section 7 in order to read more effectively. After 6A. But that's not clause 3.
No, clause is referring to the bill. Section is referring to the act. So the clause 3 of the bill and it would be after section 6 in the act.
6A. Purpose of personal public property. And it, as well, after 7, it says, composition of coastal public property. Why isn't it just part of clause 7 or 8 part of it? Why should be a separate clause anyway? Wouldn't it make more sense if it's just part of 7?
Because they've done that similarly in with the other clauses like the coastal protection zone. They've got a separate section saying what the purpose is. And what was pointed out in the common code was we do have a similar clause for coastal public property.
Where's the purpose of...
Because
under these clauses here, where's the purpose of zones?
I think they probably are, because if you look at in the arrangement of sections of the Act, the coastal protection zone, the composition is 16, is section 16, and then the purpose of coastal protection zone is section 17.
Thank you. shouldn't have done it like that, but you've made it 6A.
We could make 7A.
It should have been, it should be in front of, just like this. It should be composition of personal property. I think it should be part of that 7. You know, that 7. So why make this just part of 7? So then you read it as a composite whole. Otherwise it's a completely different place. Alright, so that we agree that maybe not with that you were in, but it should be moved, we agree with. 2 should read 2. Move to floor 7.
We rather, it's a blocking practice often we make a statement like this at provide for 6A. We should start with this, the first paragraph, the capital letter, and the readable part. It's a drafting practice.
Oh, okay.
And with the bulk of the first.
So that's all that was the 2 means.
Yeah,
mean. Yeah, no,
okay.
No, that's fine. No technical stuff. You know, that drafting class has fixed that up. All right, so we move that there, and that's finished. Clause 4. Anything else on clause 3?
Chair, there was a comment which was put in the act here that came under the gender commission has didn't make specific comments. They had very general proposals, and we tried to slot them in sequence in the act. But if you look at the table, it's on page 46. They want the bill to emphasize, and they're indicating that they want an insertion saying that coastal public property is an asset which is at disposal of every citizen, which includes men, women, boys and girls, no matter their differences, which has to be utilized and enjoyed in a responsible way in order to avoid any immediate or future damage to the environment and to the population. This is a very specific formulation, and it's a lot of what is said in there, in our view, is applies to all citizens of the country as enshrined in the Constitution, as enshrined in the principle in the Act themselves. So we think that this might create uncertainty in interpretation if you have something as specific.
No, I'm a romantic.
And it discriminates against transgender people, so I don't think it's a good definition.
I'm a romantic. I like I don't necessarily the words here. But you see, if you look at your objects clause, it's very technical. And it, it's got nothing to do with that it's a right of ours. It's not romantic at all. In fact, it's so bloody boring.
Chair, the problem that I have with that formulation is the specific listing of,
yeah,
of categories of people. Because if you miss out somebody, then you inadvertently are discriminating.
We can say or anything else. Yeah. Now, but I think you see, as I say, I'm not necessarily married to this language, but what I like is the idea that coastal property is for the use it's an asset for all the citizens for their use. And that if that becomes a purpose or an object, then that is what ties people when governments decide how to use this. For example, I hate going to Joburg because you find there that citizens have just barred off parts of roads. They put up fences. And that's completely and utterly illegal. Completely and utterly. It may be for security purposes, but it's illegal if you have to, for a citizen to be walk across one suburb, that you get barred by booms and things and so on. Now, you see, that's what worries me about the coastal property stuff.
Maybe 11 and 12, can I read that to you and see that?
Uh-huh.
11 says the ownership of coastal public property vests in the citizens of the Republic and coastal public property must be held in trust by the state on behalf of the citizens. And then it says it's inalienable, cannot be sold or cashed to prescribe, we have rights over it, etc. And then if you look at 12, it says the state in its capacity as a public trustee of coastal public property must ensure that it is used, managed, protected, conserved, enhanced in the interest of the whole community. And the whole community is given quite a romantic description, the definition.
Hello, other day. Obviously, what we must do is just refer the Gen Commission to these two clauses.
Okay. Yeah. So, what about in the objects of the Act to D? To secure equitable access, exclusive to all citizens, to the opportunities and benefits of the council. So, if we just plug that in here. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't see these clauses. There's some nice romantic clauses here. I mean, I can dine out my wife on these clauses. Say, sweetie, I want to discuss clauses 11, 12, and 13 of the very romantic clauses. Okay. So what we'll do is, can I ask you, I think that it is covered, but just remind me when we get to those clauses, just that we just look at what they said, okay? All right. So let's go back to clause...
Okay, now
so clause 2 in this, clause 2 in the Act we've done, clause 3 in the Act we've done, clause 3 we have, the state's duty to fulfill environmental rights. Actually clause 3 is totally meaningless, okay. But we won't do anything about it. Clause, section 4, application of the Act, okay, there's no comment. 5, application of the National Environmental Management Act. That's just an interpretation clause. Oh, what is this? Proposal by Western Cape. Under clause 5?
Yes.
Section 5, sorry.
Section 5,
the principle is stipulated in section 2 as well as requirements of section 24.4 of NEMA must be adhered to all applications that require coastal organizations. What is your comment on this? We don't have it in here.
It's on page 42.
Okay. 42.
Section 5 says that NEMA is applicable already, and if we now streamline the 24.4 criteria to apply to some of the permits in terms of this Act, we're going to run into trouble, because they dumping permits, for example, have very specific criteria related to waste and waste guidelines, schedules, and so forth. Coastal water discharge permits, similarly, they have to do water quality and all those kinds of criteria. The principles of NEMA apply, because this is NEMA. If we can't confuse the EIA process with the permitting for coastal water discharge or the permitting for dumping permits, because they are different authorizations. So we think it's not a good idea to do that.
Well, your answer shouldn't be that. Your answer should be that what they're asking is already there. That's the answer. Because, I mean, what you're saying is, you've just said to me that this Act must be in relation to coastal management, to read it over and plan in conjunction with the National Environmental Management Act. So you can't do the two separately. Therefore, 24.4 and all that will apply. All right. Section 6 not there, 6A we've said we must move to 7. Alright, then we get the infamous clause
7.
Section 7. And at this juncture, I will let you off the hook for 5 minutes to go dark in the place. Okay, Jen, for 5 minutes. Don't
stop the invitation. Thank you.
This is no.
That is the minimum.
It's not a big scoping of an entire area, in fact, it's a big activity. And you need to consider the activity development. You don't need that growth concept. Because you're insufficient. You have. Now, everybody's still negligible. We are agencies. I do not want to.
It's like a problem with them. You don't have any technical.
Yeah, but that is why I say the very point is the important thing. And that is what the DPR. They ask whether this aid, because aid is supplied minimum. We have to do an EIA or not.
Oh, no, yes.
And that is, when it doesn't apply, but that is an option.
We can't make a whole conversation
Okay, let's start.
number two. It doesn't seem to me that, although there's no comment on this clause, there's something missing in that clause.
Sorry, Chair, in 5, in which one?
Section 6.2.
6.2. The provision containing this act or remark on the rule.
Surely after the second last line, which is that a provision prevails if there is a conflict between that provision and a provision contained in regulations in terms of any other act. Otherwise, that sentence doesn't make sense. Prevails if there is a conflict within that provision, but a provision in this Act or the NEMA or in regulations under them. Prevails if there is a conflict between that provision and a provision contained in regulations drafted in terms of any other Act. Shouldn't it be? Because then the next part says, or in an authorization dial, which has been saved, which is a separate. I don't know what an authorization dial is, but okay. I'm assuming it's got some meaning. Some elements are contained in regulations under any other act. Let's have a look at that, okay? When I have breaks and I read these things, I can't. Okay, sure.
Chair, this was, of course, the heart of contention between us and Transnet. There have been various formulations, reformulations, and proposals that went back and forth. And I put that if we can just get rid of the more technical stuff that came from the Western case, it was just an incorrect reconciliation.
No, let's do the major thing.
Okay.
Well, what
Transnet wanted initially, this reflects their position when they came to committee this document. They given us a document that said they wanted port infrastructure defined, and they wanted it excluded, and they wanted the land and sea beneath their structures excluded, and they wanted basins and channels excluded. And they gave us various formulations which we rejected. We disagree with their proposal, and Chair, you articulated that in the previous meeting because it centered around the issue of ownership of the sea and the seabed, which we cannot be convinced is necessary in order for the courts to do what they have to do. So we've rejected their proposal to exclude sea and seabed in any form. But you then subsequently asked us to look to make sure that we take into account their particular interests, and we make sure that they're not prejudiced in the exclusion, because they thought that the exclusion of port infrastructure was one enough. So we've attempted to do that, and we've come up with two proposed sets of wording, and this you will see in the gray. After yellow text on section 7, you will see gray that says the department's alternative. There are two. Transnet was presented with both these. They preferred the first one. We thought it best to bring them both to the committee and perhaps the committee may
have. Is this only amending 2A?
This is only amending, yes.
So B, C, D, E will remain?
Remain the same.
Okay. So we're saying any removal of structure or part of removal of structure or installation of structure located in a port or harbor located on land or seabed, lawfully constructed by an organ of state. Okay, so the first thing there that's problematic is we should say before, lawfully constructed by an organ of state, before this act, something like that. But you don't want it to do apply after the act.
Sure, in fact, it does apply after the act if they get the lawful authorization to build the jetty or pier, or because we can't stop any further development. There are laws governing. This is written for future and present. So whatever's there now gets excluded, and whatever's there in the future will get excluded, provided it has followed the legal processes to get there. So in other words, if they want to do a port expansion and they want to reclaim land, they would have to apply for the reclamation in terms of this act. And only if we say yes to that, they would have to apply for EIA. And only if the EIA yields a positive record decision, then they would be able to construct that. Once it is constructed lawfully, that's where lawfully constructed by an organ of state comes in.
You should keep A as it is. And then this you should create as a separate subsection to make it clear that it's a transitional arrangement which only applies to before the act.
But are we saying that all future infrastructure would then become public property?
Yes, because then 2A as it is now will apply.
Because, Chair, then we would... maybe I'm not following. Our understanding is that...
You want to make... the only thing you want to do is greater clarity on an exception and be giving an interpretation of what is the existing situation going to be. I mean, you can't mess up the whole structure of the Act now because you're trying to do that.
The Chair has never the intention to include port infrastructure in coastal public property. We accept that it's necessary.
Well, we do, and I say that, and we read it like that, but these people don't. There are 110,000 lawyers, they don't read it like that. So, or if we do something, what we said, if we do something here, we'll create a transitional clause that will make it clear what we mean. And that's all we wanted to do. We didn't want to mess up. You see, because if you start putting this stuff, the exceptions, you're starting to put within exceptions. So it's exceptions within exceptions.
But Chair, if you look at 3, we've attempted to deal with the ownership issue in 3. It's not a transitional measure, but it says that it will not affect the ownership of a movable structure, etc., which are vested in the organ of state. Because they were worried about their ownership not being treated for adequacy, and that's how we supported to do it.
Transitional
arrangements,
which clause?
Yeah, we don't think that there are need for transitional arrangements because it's excluding the structure, whether it's now.
I'm asking which clause does deal now with transitional arrangements.
In general, Chair.
Yes.
I'll just find that.
95.
We did 95, but I think we dealt with legal 96. And
I think you must do is under clause 6, section 6, change the heading to conflicts with other legislation and interpretation. And then put this 3, sub 3, under there as a sub 4. But you must make it clear, not this blue part which they say which shall best in the order of state contemplation. We can't hear less anything. We just say it does not affect the ownership of blah, 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 of any da-da-da before, and then you make sure that it's before this act, at any time before this act.
Chair, just a question of clarity. If they do lawfully get infrastructure after the commitment of this act, that's two intended to be excluded because they
didn't. Yeah, no, but that's why you've got A.
Okay, so you probably we deal with that separately.
You pose them two separately, so that
okay.
This, you see, you mustn't let these people confuse us.
Okay.
There was a certain legal regime that existed before this act. Transnet believed that they owned these ports, these the coast, and so on, so on, so on. Cabinet now decided to change that regime. And that regime is now spelled out in Section 7. It's a break from the past.
Yes.
So you want to make sure that this act will apply now from this act coming into operation, and these clauses will apply. But they are now worried that they're going to be affected. So we're saying, okay, so what can we do for you? We don't want to create exclusions within exclusions. You want to then say what the interpretation of the thing is. And that is why you do the interpretation under 3. And don't mess with the structure of the act.
Okay.
So I think let's try that rather. So this wording is like similar here, but make sure that it's as it applied before the act.
Okay.
Okay. I think that will make it better. If you then want to change sub 2A to read more like this because it's in more detail, I don't suppose that's a problem. The members don't have a problem with it. I don't have a particular problem because now it's spelled out more clear what it is. So you'll create, so you see this comes in under your interpretation issues and not under a transitional arrangement or under, because it's not a transitional, it's an interpretation. Alright, Mr. Legal Advisor, have you got it like that? Do you think that's going to work for us?
Something that we could consider and come back to committee with
the closure. Yeah. But I think that wording is fine just to make clear it's before the act and you make an interpretation clause, but we don't mess with the structure of what the new regime going to be. Okay.
Sure.
So have a look at that. Members okay with that?
Yes.
Seems to make sense.
Okay.
Actually, do talk to me there. I did think about something else which I jotted down at last meeting. But for the life of me, I can't remember. It was this interpretation, but also another. It was about those those water courses or whatever. Let me quickly see what it was. Subject to any environmental laws or any other applicable laws, Section 7 does not in any manner affect the ownership rights, business management, or infrastructure appropriate in Subsection 8. And the use of the sea surface of that and that as it existed at the time of the tank coming into operation was in the area of the port or the purpose of port services that such an area is usually used for. Now, I went a bit broader. What I'll do is I'll give you this, what I've got here. I see the first thing I've done, I've made this clause where you're interpreting it, that should be subject to environmental laws. Okay, so that's one thing I've done, and you should look at. Then the ownership you've dealt with here, that's fine, but I've also the use. You see, these guys also raise the use of the water of the port. They say they also, because they own it, then they could use that. And maybe what we should be doing is also making sure that the use of the sea surface of those two things, they had two names for it. They called it
churning basins and
channels. So the use of the sea surface of the changing whatever and the changing whatever, as it existed at the time of this act coming into operation within an area of a port for the purposes of port services that such area is usually used for. So that is a further protection to say, whatever rights you had as to use, you see, they use ownership, I use use, that will not be affected. So maybe that will even make it a bit more clearer. That is, because that's what they were worried about, is that somehow that the use of it will be affected. Now, they call it ownership, but I call it use.
Chair, there's something that you may want to look at in Section 21 of the Act. It's control and management of salt waters. And if you can add something in there, it says an organ of state that is legally responsible for controlling or managing any activity on or in coastal waters must control and manage that activity, one, in the interest of the whole community, which is defined and it has been constructed, and B, in accordance with the Republic's obligation under international law.
That's management. What we've got here is use and ownership. They want to use ownership for all that stuff. What I'm saying is to make a clearer distinction. That which is property, we protect that and say we're not affecting your ownership of that. And that is where you had a use over something, which is those channels and ports, that we actually protect that as well under the interpretation. Okay? So both of
them.
No, I'll give it to you later. I kind of thought about this last time. But you see, it'll make it also more clear in terms of this property issue that they are going over and over. But I've got it here, you guys. I'll give it to you, okay? And then they'll look at that as a kind of interpretation clause to make sure that that is how it will be looked at, okay? All right. Any other issues you're under? So that A2A will change. It will be reworded and moved to interpretation. Then, any other issues here?
There was a small typographical error that was picked up by the Western Cape Commons Department, which is above the Transnet Commons.
There it is on
page 11 and 12. It's just really an incorrect chart that's been fixed.
The minute.
No, it says 7.1, it's in 7.1E, coastal public property consists of, and then E says subject to subsection 2, F. And it should read E.
Which page is it now?
I'm actually helped with the chair and made that the confusion. If we look at pages 11, yeah, it says...
Page 16.
No, page 12. Wow. If you look at the top of page 12 on the comment and response table, you look at the bottom, it says referencing error in section 7.1E, as there is no 7.2F.
Yeah, I saw that also myself. Okay, you agree with that?
Yes, we agree with that.
And then the rest of the stuff, what did they say here? Seashore of reclaimed land, recognition of first artificially created. Estuaries are good in definition. These are the intents of the boat to shoot the seashore estuaries of the first part of the property. Yes, tends to be problematic at the property boundaries of any manner. Extend to the middle of the estuary. What is your response to that middle of the estuary?
Dr. Whittle actually discounted that argument and she confirmed.
Does remind me what you said?
Confirmed that landowner cannot possibly own to the middle of an estuary, only with the reverse where this can happen. But there's no property ownership in the middle of an estuary, and they own up to the high watermark, and that's it.
Well, I suppose this clause, this interpretation clause, now that we're writing and saying that it doesn't affect property rights of someone before the Act, that'll apply. So it just means that after the Act, definitely they won't be able to get property rights for them. So, okay. And then the second one is exclude structures and infrastructure. The process suitable initially to determine the extent of public rights becomes problematic when new structures are constructed. So section 11. Personal property is inalienable, excluding cannot be changed once it's in the personal property.
Yeah, I think your proposals on clarifying the existing situation and the going forward will address these concerns.
Okay. Okay. Transnet, we've dealt with Transnet. What is your definition? What is your difficulty with the definition of port infrastructure?
It includes basins and channels.
Okay, all right. So we're not going to do that. Right. Definitely we're not going to do that. Anyone agree? Lovely, because we've got the other alternative for that. I understand the provision of such a person does not include any port infrastructure. So we've dealt with that. We've dealt with that. Okay, so all that is dealt with. Transnet preferred the first alternative. Okay, we know that. Then Whittington, concerned that natural islands or coastal public property, most of these islands on nature reserves, some falling in. So what does it matter if it's a nature reserve? Still public coastal property.
They're worried about the asset issues. But our answer to that is when they are protected, when they're part of most of the natural islands are part of protected areas which are access controlled in terms of section 13. So we allow a limitation on access. So if they are important breeding colonies, where you don't want people to just go onto these islands and disturb those breeding colonies, they won't be allowed to because.
Well, the usual access laws apply.
Access laws
okay. So those are all the things. We'll then slightly change the, we'll put in 6A into here. We'll slightly change 2A and we'll then put an interpretation clause under interpretation and then the textual changes of Western Cape will also agree with. Now you've got some alternative wording here for 7A5. Great.
No, Chair, that was a second option, but the way we are proposing to address this thing will sort out all of that. It was just an alternative formulation, which really doesn't make
7A5. This great thing here.
Oh, sorry, are we now on...
so basically your seven,
we're
now on reclamation. Yeah.
We're on reclamation, sorry.
So you've got, we finished with that, and we're now on the reclamation.
Okay, sorry, yes.
Are there comments on this? Oh yeah, they are, yeah. Where's
they are.
Grammatical error at section 7.1, space must be added between the... Okay, so that we agree.
Yes.
Recommend that section 7.8 be moved to after section in order to... Does reclaiming land form part of coastal public property or the coastal protection zone? Seashore forms part of coastal public property, the main part now. So in Transnet, provided land reclaimed by an organization for this and that org. Okay, so here's the suggested wording of 4 and 5. Subject to subsection 5, which is an application for reclaim as called the purpose for which the land is there. Subject to that, land reclaimed in terms of two forms part of state owned land which may be alienated in terms of applicable legislation.
State land
we have to say which may be Shouldn't we just say form part of state owned land?
We could do that.
What is state owned land?
State owned land is, it's defined in the Land Disposal Act and the what is that?
I don't know what the
the legislation that governs that is administered by the government. And there could be state owned land that's municipal land, there could be state owned land that's provincial land, they may have their own legislation dealing with that land. That's why we didn't make it specific, but I agree that that last part of the...
You see, this becomes problematic when we start now regulating here, and maybe alien, well, it may not be, maybe that act creates certain circumstances where it may not be, so we should just make it subject whatever that act is.
Subject to, sure.
Then the second one, I'm not sure about the second one. Ownership of land retained in terms of subsection 2 by the organ of state responsible for ports. Who's the organ of state responsible for ports?
At the moment it's
well, are they known as the organ of state responsible for ports?
Well, they might change, which is why you put it in general terms rather than specific, because the legislation changes whichever organ is responsible, then still remains valid. Chair, we conceded to this, you may not want to, but we felt that there were insufficient checks and balances in the reclamation section itself when they apply for reclamation for us to ensure that proper things are done with reclaimed land. So we didn't in principle have an objection to it, and Transnet requested it. If we look at the reclamation section,
just quickly going through that clause, just
the yellow one. Yes.
Something like any land reclaimed in terms of section 7A or in terms of this section by a organ of state other than, you know, what I want to try and say is if you allow reclamation to an organ of state other than the state, then they, you know, basically then, rather than saying specifically the ownership of land reclaimed. So it's where the reclamation has been approved by an organ of state, then they become the owners. Rather put it like that than the other way around.
The minister does the approval.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you rather link it to the fact that if there is an approval for reclamation of land here, then clearly when you're approving the reclamation, you're obviously approving the ownership
yes.
as well. So rather you say that. So you make it general and not specific to court.
Okay.
You say,
yeah, sure.
If there's a reclamation of land approved in terms of this and it's being used for the purpose it was meant for, then the ownership thereof will vest in the organ of state or the applicant who the minister granted it to.
Okay.
Something like that, more general then. So that we're not actually conferring ownership. But, and that is important so that when the minister makes his decision, she realizes that they're going to have the ownership.
Yes, I understand. So in other words, if it's a private developer, not a can of worms, but most likely these reclamation applications will be for state, for government purposes, and then it wouldn't be necessary to make it...
Well, then make it even more general. Don't say organ of state. Say the person who the reclamation was granted to will obtain the ownership.
Chair, but why we're worried about that is they have joint ventures with private... developers, and one party may come forward as an organ of state, and then afterwards it becomes a block of flats that they sell off, and it's already there, and the damage is done, and we've got ownership. Whereas if they want to do that kind of thing, they have to justify it up front, and they have to go through the whole state land disposal thing. If there's anybody who's not using it all for purposes of the state, which is why
if the minister gets permission to a private ownership, like it'll be illegal. Coastal land, it's coastal public property. She's not allowed to alienate it in terms of this act.
It happened in the Durban Port development where the municipality entered into the Durban Port, that's the marina that you were referring to earlier, certain members there, it's the municipality ethically entered into an agreement with a private developer to develop that urban marina area. And their application, they could come to us potentially as an organ state, and they would still be guarded as an organ state. We need to be able to safeguard against, I mean, sure, we're going to have to interrogate the reclamation application and make sure that it's for the right purpose and so on. But we have a case in point at the moment where they proceeded with a whole series of developments, the EIAs and everything, and now they're having to comply with this legislation.
Yeah, okay, then completely delete this.
Okay.
In any case, if you look at clause, if you look at subclause 2, it says the minister may on application approve a reclamation and such authorization may be subject to conditions or title deed restrictions. You don't want in another clause to say ownership in a vest where you can actually have conditions for title.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing.
And then you'll reword this other one.
And take off that word.
And you'll just say land reclaimed in terms of that forms
state
part of
the
state owned land.
And we can leave it
back. No, you say state owned land
subject to
as defined in or whatever as defined in that section of that act. If you say that state owned land in terms of a certain act, and then if then your alienation will be in terms of that act and not something we put in this act. Because we haven't provided for
it. The problem with that is if that legislation changes, it becomes difficult to check exactly, and sometimes there are two sections. So if we make it a general in terms of legislation that's governing that mandate, we can word it properly, then it takes care
of... But you see your part is you're using words which are unfamiliar, part of state-owned land. So if you don't define what state-owned land is, it's just... You told me there's an act that does define state-owned land.
Because there's a state owned land that belongs to national, a state owned land that belongs to provinces and municipalities, and they're all governed in terms of different legislation.
There's a problem with this clause as well, because if you look at 3B, it says whether the purpose of the reclamation is for development of state infrastructure on organ or state or for private commercial gain. And as soon as you say or for private commercial gain, you can't then say it's state on land. So maybe what we should rather have under 3 is a clause that say, and the minister should determine in this application should state the ownership of the land. You see what I'm trying to say? Because if it's a private commercial company, you can't say it's state of land, because it's not. So we must decide what we want. Either we exclude private commercial gain completely, or we say that the ownership must then be decided at the time of the application. Because you can't automatically then say everything's going to be state owned land and there's a possibility it's going to be private. I mean, the principle is that we want to have a state owned land because it's coastal property. The principle. But as soon as you put in here for private commercial gain is one of the criteria that must be considered by the minister. From that moment onwards, you can't then just say, unless we're going to give some state people a reclaim it, but you're not going to own it.
No, which is why we put in, maybe alienated in terms of that legislation. The state is not very elegantly drafted, but that was the reason behind talking to the alienation. And if we think about the section carefully, perhaps we don't want, this is really born out of an existing situation, and perhaps going forward we don't want reclamation for private purposes.
I agree.
And of course, it won't apply retrospectively because that would affect vested rights. But going forward, we get an expectation we wouldn't want to do that. I think Durban Port Development was concerned that they had already gone through a process of a number of years and they've gotten authorization. And now if the law changes and they have to apply for reclamation and the Act doesn't allow them to reclaim, then all the work and investment that they've done with the city prior to this is going to be what's under the bridge.
Well, I think you guys need to relook this, DC. You must decide exactly what you want. Because we can only really get wording here if we know exactly what we want. Because clearly, if you're looking at this clause now, it's clearly sending mixed messages. On the one hand, private ownership is involved there. On another hand, it's state on land. So there's clearly mixed, and we're not clear on what it is we want. Mr. Rogers?
Yeah, just a question of clarity. The comment was made, we don't really want to have reclamation for commercial or private purposes. And I'll just get some clarity on that. Does that mean, for example, if somebody finds an area that they'd like to develop, i.e. a Shark and Marine World or one of those areas, that we're saying no to that type of development?
No, you'll say it's only, of course, it's a development which is on existing land and that's fine. But you're saying no to it's only reclamation. So it's if Shaka says we want to, our plan is to build a pier or a piece of peninsula into the sea towards Durban's kind of thing there so that we can have, because this is the harbour, and they want to build a piece of land in there so they can have this water here to have dolphins or whatever they want to do. So that building of that piece of land, they will use for these private purposes, and it's whether that kind of reclamation gets allowed. So if you want to have a development on whatever there is, that'll be fine. If you want to have a development that will include you reclaiming a part of the sea, which is coastal, out the people's property, and that's the whole principle we're trying to create now, that this is part of the people. Now you say, okay, we're going to now give you this part of the... The way to do it is if, you know, if you want to go the route of saying that there is the possibility of commercialization, to say, but that will always be subject to that remain state land, and they have the use then of the thing, then that's a different thing. You see, and then we must word it like that. That in terms of private things, if they reclaim and pay the cost of reclaiming the land, that's fine and that's part of the plan, but the land still remains the property and they just have the use of it. That is the kind of thing we can look at, possibly.
Yeah.
But even that I'm nervous about because, you know, if you start thinking about it and there's pressures for us to create jobs and development, and now we start giving part of people like they did in Dubai, build an artificial island, and all that kind of stuff. So I get nervous about creating that, but at least, you see, what we need to do is we must have clarity from you guys. If we're only going to allow reclamation if it's state, and therefore if it's ports, and people are building harbors, and that kind of stuff, that's one thing. If we are going to start saying that for development purposes, that private people can apply for us for reclamation, well, you're opening up a and of course, then all the issues of corruption come in. One is not saying that any minister is corrupt, but I mean, if someone comes to you and say, here's a multi-billion rand development, if you allow me to build an island and to allow me to take that part of Durban Harbour, that area there, I can just think you're building something there, have it nice with dolphins and so on. Big billion-dollar projects and so on. And we're then giving this coastal land, this is a loophole then, which then it starts giving away. It's a very tricky ground.
Okay, in fact, there were proposals that were quite dangerous, which required engineering fees, which they haven't yet convinced us of, where they wanted to create an island near Melkbos Trunk. In the climate and the conditions that we have, because it's not Dubai. Dubai itself, on understanding it, is failing. But in Cape Town, not for some area, to develop an island there and then create this rich estate and then pay from that to the Minister of Housing so that there's some offset, for me is a big threat, and I'm seeing that in this kind of thing.
I'm seeing all kind of red lights. So what I'm saying to you guys, you go back DG and sit down and think nicely through this thing. Do we want to open the door for private commercialization, or we just want to keep a state reclamation? And if you want to go and increase it also to the commercialization side of stuff, which I see a lot of red lights, then there must be strict that the property will remain and its use, basically, that we're talking about, and not ownership. So you guys need to sort that one out first before we finalize. Members happy with that? Let them think through it again.
I suspect we are going to depend on what governments want to do, because even the third proposed development that Advocate Ryback was referring to was supported by Economic Development Department in the context of what we define as growth areas, new growth areas. So I think that our legislation should anticipate that in one way or the other. And the question is, if such has to be considered, what is the legal regime that should be followed, and how far can we be in terms of tightness in respect of what would have to be met as the key condition? And I think that the key is that the state will still have to own the land, and the question is whether then you would create a leasing of the sea space through our legislation. And it is something that I think I'm not certain about at this point in time, but it's clear that it's coming, it's going to be a demand for the future. And
the problem is, once we decide on the principle that we have in Section 7, that it's public property, you know, then you have to, I mean, we must stand firm. If it's public property, it's public property. The possibility that we are creating, and this act will also be, will it only be applied, this clause will only be applied by minister or also province?
Only minister. Which means that in parliament.
I think the original thinking was that
I think parliament
there must be parliament. I think when it comes to private or commercial, it would be best if we then have a link to parliament, so that there is a broader consideration in respect to control. So we may, it would have to be more, I don't know whether, because there were leasing provisions in the Seashore Act, and therefore we should still create the mechanism and allow leasing, but subject to parliamentary approval. The minister must consider for public organs of state, but then beyond that, it should come to parliament. I think
there's no problem actually, even if it's for government, for tabling in parliament before the decision is taken. I would rather feel more comfortable.
Sure.
I still would want you guys to go and think about the private stuff. The more I think about it, the more nervous I get.
Chair, just one point that we may need to be aware of, and that there are minor reclamations for building of slipways and so forth, and I don't know if the intention is to bring all those small applications to Parliament, because those can be, not slipways, but they are not big development projects that only involve...
It's a tabling.
Okay.
It's not a serious thing.
Just a tabling.
And what happens with... Well, it's always a tabling. What happens is when you table it in Parliament, we see it's a big Dubai development you want to do off Malbourne Strand. Then we can say we want a public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Then if it's a slipway, we say, well, fine, we know that you're creating a slipway and we're going to have public hearing. But I think the tabling thing is an overall clause that before the decision is taken in terms of Section 1. But I think I still want you guys to go and think about this private thing. Because if we're going to go the private route, I would rather accept this procedure here as the state infrastructure route, if you know what I mean, and then create a separate procedure for private, with much more stringent application. Everything must be much more stringent. So I would kind of except for this clause about that it becomes state-owned land. I think we must get another wording for that. Well, I suppose if it's just state infrastructure, then it's not a big problem. Except that state-owned could also then mean your organ of state. So we will have to refine the wording. But, and I'm going to put here, but if for private projects, then separate procedure. So we leave that up to you guys. At the moment we're saying this is fine for state infrastructure with a refinement of the wording, particularly around this state-owned thing. But if you want a private thing, then we think you must come with something completely relooked there must be a much more detailed process. Before even this thing should be considered, there must be a public engagement in Parliament to be able to look at the project, to approve it. And you said it's a more open project and cuts away the possibilities of corruption. So, okay. Everyone happy with that? Okay. Then, so we finished everything under 7. Okay. For 7, amendment of section 11. So there's nothing changing in 8.
There's a clarification in 8 because we've taken those out of determining the objective, so that's the confidential amendment. There were no comments on that.
You say what?
For the purpose of item 6A.
This is a very minor thing that the KMNA can collect any state land as coastal public property and for the purpose of set out section 6A. Alright. There's no comment on that. 9, no comment. 10, no comment.
10, we came across something.
Okay.
If you look at the current wording of 10, it talks to designation of state and land for certain purposes. There is, however, another provision that talks to declaration of both public property. So I can just look at the aspect to come with next year. There's two processes. The one is the extending coastal public property, which is in section 8 of the Act. It says the minister has a power where the minister may declare any state-owned land as coastal public property. So that's a declaration that follows the public consultation process, etc. And if there's state-owned land, for example, that's next to an Admiralty Reserve, that's on coastal public property, that extension can take place via this process. 10 talks to something else. It talks to designation of state-owned land for certain purposes. We have to go back to the people that were involved in developing the white paper and the bull at its initial, the act when it was bull, to find out what was contemplated in this section. And it's different from declaring state-owned land to be coastal public property. It's actually just using state-owned land for certain purposes, and I was led to believe that some of these were social and community beneficiation kind of projects and so forth, and to identify certain state-owned land for those purposes. But it became confusing because if you look at 10.5 then says that state-owned land designated in terms of subsection 1A or 3A must be regarded as coastal public property. There's two problems with this. One is it creates the confusion when you're talking about declarations under section 8 that the minister already has the power to do. And two, in 10, this section of designation for certain purposes has also been given to MEC. So the minister can exercise it for state-owned land in city national governments for the purposes of facilitating certain things in Section 8. And the MEC can do so for state-owned land that is provincial land, and they must follow certain consultation processes. Now, it's saying that this designation then has the same effect of declaring it under Section 8. So we've got two very confusing scenarios. I'm not sure that this is the best way to deal with it, but we've not yet implemented this section. So in practical terms, I'm not sure how it will unfold, whether that designation will be, for example, for certain use in those areas that would not be allowed in close to public property, but it would still have a protective state over it, it's state-owned land in that facility. But you don't want that to then become close to public property. If you've got another mechanism to create corporate public property, and also you will then make it subject to all restrictions of corporate public property. That was the dilemma we came up with.
I haven't got a clue. They look to me as exactly
well,
the same.
Well, that's what we thought when we looked at it.
The one is just more cumbersome and difficult.
That's what we thought, yes. We went to inquire, and the explanation we got was that this designation was intended for something else, but it's not really being reflected in the clauses, and that we need to relook at what we're trying to say here.
Yeah, but in the end, the CFO then becomes coastal property, and then it's all the usual rules are applicable.
Which is why we've proposed to say...
Even if it's for other purposes, the only thing that it does, it makes it broader. You can... Therefore, designated as public property, or whatever it's called, if it's broader than 6A. Now, 6A is in any case a new clause.
But not really, because if you look at what was previously in 8.1, it's all the things that are now in 6A. Improve access to seashore, protect coastal systems, secure natural functioning of coastal processes, etc. So the stuff that we've taken out. Have now been
so, DG, what do you suggest?
The 6A.
I'm not sure.
Do we sit there, Nakai, do we give you guys instructions to go and rationalize DG clause? Because it just seems to me to have a clause like this that no one knows what it means, and it, in its heading it says for certain purposes. Then it's opening up a door to go beyond the purposes that you've got in the Act and to start using coastal property beyond those purposes. That would worry me. So we'll say to you, you guys can rationalize these two. If we can't find any human being existing and living to tell us why they put it there, then it's not worth a clause. Okay. All right. So there were no comments on that either. 10. So 11. The next one was mine.
Yes. Page 17 and 18 of the comments and response document that I just said. Looking at they want us to in 11.3. They want us to say no person. They propose firstly a grammatical change, which I don't necessarily agree with. At the moment it reads, no person may use, her, or exploit or claim a right to use, or exploit any natural resources, any part of, etc. And it goes on. They're proposing that we take off, that we replace the or. We must delete word or before the word exploit.
The comma.
And the comma.
Well, that's fine. It's a draft thing, so it doesn't change anything. So let's look at that issue. We'll be guided what the best draft is.
That's neither here nor there. And then they've got the second part of their proposal is a problem to us in any event, because it says the rest of subsection 3. Says you can't exploit, use natural resources or any part of or that is derived from corporate property unless a person is authorized to do so
by national legislation. They wanted relevant legislation here, and provinces are not allowed, for example, to allocate either mineral resources, fisheries resources, any marine resources within those areas. It is a predominantly national competence, which is why we put in national legislation. We do not want to give the impression that any other law can allow for this, which is why we disagree with it.
I think that's a good agreement. I personally use or exploit or claim the right to use or exploit any natural resource. Is that the only reason they give? I mean, isn't the problem in the use of your adjectives? If it's from exploiting a natural resource, that is mining, clearly.
Yeah.
But surely the use of a natural resource, which is everything, I mean, water, air, the trees, I mean, all of that are your natural resource. Isn't that what they're trying to say, that some of that does fall under a province?
But natural resources, remember, you don't need a law to allow you to breathe the air in terms of public property. But you'll need a law to allow you to dig out shells or those are the kinds of laws that we're talking about.
But and is there nothing of that fall under province?
National resources.
Look, I have no problem. You see, I would rather I don't want to go their route in terms of relevant legislation. But I'm seeing a potential problem in the sense that when it comes to natural resources, that you're not just saying, you're saying use, exploit, or claim. It's all right. If there is any possibility that there are natural resources that do fall because the environment falls under them, then we can then word specifically as in terms of the adjective. If it's use, for example, use any relevant legislation.
Mm-hmm.
But the others you can say exploit or national. So I'm just... I don't have the argument. I don't have the argument yet. Let's just, you know, maybe it's a non-issue, but have you got, look at what they're arguing, say, where do they think that their legislation
they
may be applicable?
All they say is proposed deletion of the word national, as not only national legislation may be applicable, but they don't give details. So,
all right, so what we'll do there is we'll flag this, give you a chance to speak to Western Cape. Say what kind of legislation are they thinking of, then we have no problem that you then say if you do find that they've got a case that there are some legislation that may be applied say, to use, then you can put in an extra clause to cover that and make sure that the rest of it then remains national.
I think a lot of it might center around what we mean by natural resources. If natural resources include the water, then of course municipal bylaws and so forth would also apply. But if it is only usable, and that's exploitable resources, then it's different. Then you may have to make the distinction that you proposed.
I can see what they're trying to say, but they would only be right if they can show us, demonstrate to us, that there is something that they have legislation that falls within this. If they do, let's cater for it. Yeah, and then keep the rest national, okay? Everyone happy with that? So they'll check the Western Cape, we'll flag that.
Yeah, the same comment came from the KZN. So we're going to do those together. Transnet.
Yes, this Transnet just puts everywhere.
Okay, now...
Port infrastructure, so rest in the port...
They've let go of that stone check.
Okay.
Can't
be right. Mm-hmm. Right, is that everything under the lever? Yeah. or thing. We'll leave that up to legal draft, okay? Both of them are correct, grammatically. If you take out the or, you put a comma, there's not a problem. If you keep the or like that, there's also not a problem. So we'll let that leave to drafting. Then check with the case, for example. Okay. And that issue is out. Alright, clause 8, section 13. Okay, so what do they say in 13?
The first thing they say is in 13A, it currently reads, no fee may be charged for access to coastal public property without the approval of the minister. They want to add in the words, unless otherwise provided for this act. But it is provided nowhere else in this act, but in this section. They didn't justify why they want to add.
I kind of remember I asked them about this and they gave me some example. And I thought I was sympathetic to it. See, there's some merit. If he made a charge. Doesn't the Act provide elsewhere that sponsors may provide for fees? Regulations?
They're not allowed to, because it's a centralized function. A lot of problems around that, Chair, we've seen the later comments with municipalities and other fee chargers who are charging such excessive fees that they're actually precluding people from access.
No problem with that, but you see, the recent case definitely gave me an example. In their submission they say this provision of paragraph A shall not apply to fees for the use of facilities or activities that are considered facilities or activities for the purpose of obtaining access to coastal public property.
That's started later, aren't you?
What does that mean? What I've just read. I've read it, but I'm not sure. It's technical. I'm not sure if it means anything. Oh yes, okay. So they're saying, but surely this shouldn't apply to facilities which are not regarded as giving access. So what they're saying is about what about other facilities that are in a, I imagine other facilities should be like toilets and things like that, where you sometimes have to pay attention to go and get a... So isn't that what they're trying to refer, just to distinguish? They're not, I thought they weren't opposed to the fact that the minister is going to decide that, but there are some of the facilities that don't deal with access to the thing. They deal with enjoying the thing, those toilets and kiosks and whatever, I suppose. Should all those fees also be agreed by the minister? I think what they're worrying is.
But that's clearly spelled out in the section underneath. There's further complication, which maybe if we deal with the rest of the section, we can look at it. Look at some of those other user charges that are charged by municipalities that may or may not be incorporated in an access fee.
So you're saying D will cater for their problem?
Yes.
The provisions of A shall not apply to fees for the use of facilities, which are located on or in the public property.
Chair, we've come up with a counter-proposal at the end that tries to define access fee so that we know what he can sell and what he doesn't. Because there's particular problems that have emerged from KZN regarding boat launching and fees.
Okay. Subject to three neighbors may prevent access to coast by the park. You want to add that as well?
Yes.
All right, so there's the grey there that says subject to 2 and 3, no person may prevent access to coastal public property. It seems like a good principle to put in. And then there's also a definition for access fee, which means a fee that is charged to allow a person to get to. That sounds ugly.
I know.
To get access, to have access to.
But using the word access in the definition of access, which is why we have difficulty finding this, we hope somebody with linguistic skills can help us tidy it up. But the idea is...
I think, you know, that'll just make it a bit clearer. So reword that and find the right words. I don't think there's a problem with using access on the face of it.
Yeah.
Because the point is...
Using it to define itself. But what we need... to get access to, but we also want to include, Chen, this is the point that we need to bring to your attention, is sometimes they don't charge you to get to the beach, but for you to effectively get access, in other words, to take your boat to get to the point where you're at coastal public property, they'll charge such an excessive fee that you actually won't be able to get there. So they only allow certain elite people to get there via this exclusion. And what happens is municipalities want to be in a position where they have a cost recovery model. So if they are maintaining a certain boat launch, like for example, they want to charge fees that enable them to recover their costs, but also it can't be that high that you're actually effectively excluding them. And that's what KZN brought up, and this was our attempt to deal with that.
Yeah, no, but what you must do is now make your access fee definition.
Use the word access
in there, and then in the clause 1 year, you just say no access fee.
So are you happy with the other part of that definition, Chair, that you're
Well, look, I mean, if that's the problem, I don't have a problem with that. In practice, you guys understand that the launching of boats and
that's
so on. So I wouldn't again put the and there, just a comma includes.
Okay.
But let's reword that thing to create that it's the access fee that is so clearly defined. And it's not going to be it's going to be difficult to mix it up with usage and those kind of things that are in D.
All right.
If you reword like that and then you reword 3A, instead of saying no fee, you'll say no access fee may be charged without the approval, without saying access to coastal property. That'll be in the definition.
Okay.
Everyone happy with that? Is this all the problems here? Are there more?
I think that's what it's saying.
That one, that you agree with this grammatical error?
Yeah.
Western Cape says a grammatical error, which I see you agree with.
Yeah.
Okay, and there you've got the suggested definition, so that'll be fine. Consider the leading 5A, as it contradicts section 13.3, as all structures will require coastal use permit and therefore avoid subsection 3 and 4. Say you disagree with it.
We haven't even determined what will require federal use permits yet, so I don't think that's
I think what they're saying is that you've changed the system to get rid of leases and so on, and you've got firms and that.
Yes.
And then you wouldn't need all those clauses. Have you looked at this issue? Have you got a response, or is it still?
No, we did have a response saying that.
All structures weren't required post leases.
Fees and coastal use permits, they seem them as one kind of activity, and we don't see them that way. Access is access. Coastal use permits are user charges for specific activities that would exist, and I think we see them the same.
What's 13.3D.
They say
13.5 contradicts 13.3. Subsection 3 and 4 do not apply to coastal public property for which a coastal use permit has been issued in terms of Section 65, or that is or forms part of a protected area or a port or harbour. Subsection 3 and 4. She's just saying that you're saying exactly what they're saying is that if there are fees involved, if there are permits involved,
we excluded those. This came from the public, the initial public comment phase, I think, was why we put this exclusion in. But the working papers would agree with it.
Well, if you look at the comment, it's basically you're trying to achieve the same thing. They're saying it should be there because it's permits covered, and it should be there because exactly you need to create an exception to 3 and 4
mm-hmm.
in cases of permits, because you don't want to have both.
Yeah.
The second part, I imagine. Okay. No, so that's fine. We'll give it. KwaZulu-Natal.
They have exactly the same.
Same stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Clause 9. Which is section 14. So you've got Western Cape.
Okay, this is a complicated section because it refers to the definition of the high water mark and the debate around there. And there you will see overlap for those comments. The first one was the Western Cape proposal. They want
to. Well, let's do this Dr. Whittle stuff first and see if we agree with that.
Okay.
He says if the high water mark is landward of a straight line boundary of a coastal land unit, when this act took effect, will the high water mark moves
landward
due to the erosion of the coast, sea level rise, or causes the owner of a coastal land unit, whatever. So that's what she's suggesting. So she's
improved the wording.
Wording of that stuff, boundary lines on out and so on. And then just change also the land and the da 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 da. That all seems to be technically more correct,
yeah,
what she's done. So we're happy with that. Now, the principle of what the Western Cape is saying is, if I can find it, one before. Mm-hmm. 14.5 do not support the deletion of 14.5. The period of 3 years. 14.5, the deletion of that. Oh yeah, they want to keep those periods in there. Dr. Whittle has gone the other way to say no. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
Right, so that's fine. 14.6, this is not supported. It contradicts 6A and 7. Private property should not be excluded as a result of accretion.
This is also something that Dr. Whittle would agree with.
if your property is bounded by the high water mark, and that's how it's registered in the deed registry office, it's always been understood that it boundary will move with high water mark. If you have a straight line boundary, and because of erosion, you lose part of that, because of natural processes, you will lose that part of the property. If the sea accretes, which means that it increases, there's more land that goes up and the sea moves back, then up to the point of your boundary line, you will regain your property, but not further than that. So,
everyone asks, do we really need six?
We've taken it out.
Oh, you've got six there.
But we've taken out the initial wording and we've refined.
Not the wording. Let's look at the principle first.
Yes.
I mean, Dr. Whittle, if I can recall, specifically said, do we really need this? Because if it's naturally so that I have a title deed that says my land is there and there's a beacon that they put up there, either water takes it away or takes it or adds to it, do we really have to say in legislation if there's added or subtracted that you're losing or you're gaining? I mean,
Dr.
you have to say the obvious.
She's in fact proposed wording for 14.6. She's in support of it.
Yeah, but when she was here, she actually said that, I mean, what I understood her to be saying is that, do we really need this thing? She may have changed it on the wording that is here, may have changed it to read better, technically, if we want it. But the question should still be, does anyone gain anything by us putting this in legislation? If my title deed says, my property is there. I mean, and that's what the title deed says. Will it help in the legislation? I say, but if you add a bit of sand, that's now become mine. Because the title deed does reflect that.
I think the reason for this was when it comes to erosion and people's property started getting eroded, they were complaining that the state has robbed them of property and has to build things to secure the property. And I think that maybe that's not what is being addressed here, but it was a point to clarify.
We don't have to do the gaining, we must do the subtraction. Then we don't have to say gains ownership, we just say you lose. If we worry that someone can come along and say, I title deed says that this is my land, and if it erodes, you've got the responsibility to put up bulwarks here and stop the sea from getting there, I can understand that. Then we can, and then if you say, but they like you've lost it because of the access. But to try and say you gained when the title deed doesn't show that I've gained anything, it just seems the gaining part of it is the problem.
I just think that if you lost this point, if you can't increase the rate, you just say rate and tax on the part of the actual property. It doesn't have to go via district, it's a municipal
issue. But to cover it for the damage thing, I can see that point. So let's do that if you lose it, you lose it. The act says bad luck. It's your responsibility. It's natural. But
it is an act of God.
It is an act of God, yeah. But you see, the problem is, you're quite right, it's an act of God.
Yeah.
But the reality is now that owner, let me give you a prime example. Milnerton Golf Club, my golf club over here on the coast. What is happening is the sea has taken away, and the clubhouse is this far now from the edge. So when there was a big storm, part of this was taken away. So the club then called the municipality to say, but, you know, is it your responsibility to look after this part of it and so on? And the municipality said, no, it's not our problem, it's yours. You do it. So in the end of the day, there was uncertainty even with that golf club in terms of, because what the golf club was trying to do, of course, is to say to the municipality, you must put up barriers here so that the sea doesn't come. And the municipality said, but that's not our responsibility. And I think if we say here that if you lose through that, then it's the owner's responsibility to put up whatever they want to put up, obviously complying with the law and getting permission for that. But what this then does in this legislation, it protects the state from that person then saying, well, come and sort out this problem. But but then there's a provision that says that very clearly. In fact, where this should be, it should actually be in the title of these acts. More, this is where it should be. So that it's quite clear that in terms of the title deeds that...
Okay. The clip is your loss is your loss.
Yeah.
Your gain is your loss and our gain. In simple terms.
But yours is mine, what's mine is also yours. Well, that is, of course, that is the philosophy in my home with my wife. That's the philosophy in my home. What is yours is mine, and what's mine is mine. Yeah, so the clever wife and daughter syndrome. We're now moving into coastal property. We're taking the principle of the wife to the coastal property now. Okay, so we'll reword that. All right, and then to the father's proposal, subject to 7.2a. All right, subject to 7.2a. Do you want to make sure? What do you want to make sure?
The exclusion from the public property. It is transmedicine.
You got it as a partner's proposal.
Yes.
You've got transmed, you've got 14.5.
Yes, but we put it in because I think, let me just go back to the table they checked, 25.
No, we've agreed to that. The only issue I'm asking you, because there may be some value in why you've done it, you've here made this clause subject to section 7.2a, and I'm asking you that part.
Yes, I'm looking at that now, and I thought I knew why. I'm questioning it now. I'm looking at losers' ownership of
7.2a.
Becomes
public
property.
7.2a, any immovable structure. It's the other transmit argument, the any immovable structure one. That's what you're making it subject to.
It's subject to any exclusions from the public property.
So why would you want to do that?
If the high watermark moved inland of the boundary line of land unit, if it was already excluded under 7.2, then it would be excluded anyway, then they wouldn't lose ownership, they still have ownership of it. And that's what we're trying to do there. Because if there's a structure that's partially in the water, so to speak, that was excluded, that would still be subject to the ownership as becoming in 7.2.
I'm completely lost. 5. This is 5. So I want the inland boundary. You see, you've also brought back the part that you deleted. The 3 years.
No, we took it out.
Now in this new proposal here is a green again.
No, but
the department's proposal.
No, that's an error. It's not supposed to be in green. That's bolded and deleted.
Not green.
It shouldn't be green. Very good.
What's the difference between 5 and 6? They seem to deal with exactly the same thing.
No, the 6 deals with when it's gaining a cushion. Not erosion, the opposite of erosion.
So it's 5 we want, not 6.
Yeah, that's what I understood. So we shouldn't be dealing with the scenario with the sea peace and gaining, we should just be dealing with the loss. As a result of erosion.
So you'll have to reword 5 then to do all the stuff that the doctor said.
Yes.
Now, so the only question then that remains is the subject to. Do we need the subject to? Subject 7.2 is what is not part of
CPT. I think it contextually read into it anything.
I wouldn't put the subject 2. So this will go. But this will be reworded to 5.
And then,
so that is the only issue there?
Yes.
Okay.
15. Chair, before we continue, can I please, I hate to do this, I really just need this literally 2 minutes, or I won't be able to concentrate on this at all.
You need what?
2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
You must get people with stronger bladders. We can't have members popping off the toilets all the time. Actually, that was what happened to my 3-year-old nephew the other day. We're kicking the ball in the garden after a huge lunch on a Sunday. And this fellow, I kick the ball to him and he kicks it. And suddenly he kicks the ball and goes in the water. His face became completely mortified. And I thought, oh my God, what happened? And this kid just stood there like, so I said, boy, what's wrong? So his dad comes out, and his dad looks at him and says, did you poo-poo? So his dad knew immediately. And he just said, yes. So your staff member almost... Hey, it was the funniest of this fella. He's very talkative. So when he doesn't talk, you really worry. So suddenly he stopped talking and he looked very crafty at me. He suddenly knew immediately what was wrong.
Thank you.
All right, 15, there was just one issue. All this clause does is add or any other act or any other law. Listen, Cape wanted to say not or, but and. Now, obviously, that will be very problematic because that will have to be provided in both acts before you can use it. The department has drafted another amendment here to make it clear. This act or the National Environment Management Act or Specific Environment Management Act. I suppose it makes it a bit more clearer than just any other law. Add other before specific. Any other specific environment management. Because the previous two are specific environment acts. That's 15. Anything else on the 15? Well, you agree here with the Western Cape?
We do that on occasion.
And why is it
very
wrong?
Seldom.
This time it's wrong.
Which one is
it? And. We should have disagreed.
No, we didn't. We disagreed with the any other law.
Yeah, I'm saying yeah, if we agreed.
Oh, disagreed.
We disagreed.
Oh.
But then you give alternative wording.
Yeah.
Okay.
We agreed with the concept of, you know, this we put in the NEMA and the CEMA thing because we didn't want non-environmental legislation to be overriding, which is why we made it specific.
Okay, and so the next one, the South African Association of Marine Biological Research, you agree with? KwaZulu-Natal. Having dealt with a number of coastal erosion emergencies recently headed in, neither the Act or any other law equity deals with private property owners preventing erosion. Unless we as authorities know what other laws there are for dealing with such matters, some municipalities and propose to deal with these matters through encroachment agreements. But this needs to be clarified. Do you think that this are there other laws that deal with coastal emergencies? I mean, the issue here is how does one deal with coastal emergencies if the law doesn't provide? They're saying no law provides for it. How will you deal with, what law will allow you to deal with coastal emergencies of erosion? Which law provides for it?
There might be disaster management education.
Because if there's no law that deals with it, we must put a clause in here.
Well, in terms of NEMA, we've got section 28, section 30. We've got the tools under NEMA, which is why we put the NEMA and the CEMA in.
But in terms of time,
yes. Now, I'm not sure. You see, those emergencies there. Well, look. Let me make a note here. I'm saying check if need clause on emergencies. Now, if you need a clause, then you can go to the latest amendment and rework that clause to fit in here. That clause, basically, the one that we allow for emergencies, is the one where we now said you must pass regulations that someone can pick up a phone and say, I now have to bulldoze part of the coast away here because if I don't bulldoze sand up here, I'm going to be completely flooded. And that's the one that we've done under the NEMA one. Even if it covers this, then it's fine. If it doesn't, then we must create a clause for it. Okay? In fact, it may be worthwhile that if the NEMA amendment does cover it, it may even be worthwhile yet to specifically spell it out, section so and so of, which will make it much clearer, of the national management. Okay, so thank you guys at N4. people telling us about emergencies. NB, check emergency clause. Okay, 16.
The 16 show you won't find comments.
But the department has a proposal.
No, there were comments by Professor Wattle.
16.1A.
Oh no, it wasn't. It was just a concern that she raised. And the people just
no mentioned. Proposal.
No.
And you disagree with the proposal?
No, we disagree with her comments. Which she then, when we put to her our explanation, she was fine with it.
Okay. What is but your proposal?
Our proposal is just a clarification of wording. If you look at 16, 1F, should be a tricky to explain. It currently says, you're looking at the chapeau of the section which says, subject to subsection 2 and section 26, the cultural protection zone consists of a whole bunch of things, and then in F it says, any coastal wetland, lake, lagoon, dam, or the part of a river which is situated wholly or partially within a land unit, referred to in paragraph D, I or E, it's actually one or E.
So what do you want to do instead of putting all part of a river there?
We
you rather want to create a separate clause.
Because this is not the whole, remember with coastal wetlands and dams, the whole of the coastal, if a land unit is situated partially within it, the whole of that wetland becomes part of the coastal protection zone. But a river, you can't do this with, because it may extend kilometers out and go into a mountainous area that has nothing to do with coastal public property. So you only want that part of the river that is attached to the land unit to be part of the protection zone, which is why we separated it.
Well, let's just technically make it clear. Everyone happy with that?
Okay.
17?
No comments on 17.
Yes, I'm coming on 60 Western Case Comments. Well, this you should agree with, because they're agreeing with you, they're just giving you more reasons. We agree with the proposed amendment, would like to suggest that for the following reasons.
But they ask for something else. They suggest substituting the legal regulations with some other mechanism and allowing relevant municipalities in consultation with the MECs to determine the type of management mechanism to be used, as areas seaward of managed setback islands can most effectively be managed by municipalities. They're asking for a devolving of functions, which we disagree with.
Giving it to municipalities. Amendments in 25B. Why is KwaZulu-Natal 25B, yeah?
This is not, this is dealing with setback lines here. They didn't make, it's clause 16, not section 16. It's section 25 that we're reading from. If you look at the heading on page 29, right at the bottom, it's clause 16, not section 16.
Now you've agreed, yeah? Are you agreeing to go and amend those regulations?
No, we haven't. Chair, we're looking. I think you're reading. You actually dealing with section 25.
It's under 16.
No, it's not. It's under clause 16, which is the amendment clause. It's section 25.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll get there. We're not there yet. 17, there's nothing. 18, there's nothing. Except.
Consequential amendment from 4.
That's one of those consequential amendments we asked for. The department's proposal, 18.2.
Oh, this was an issue that came up also recently. Various discussions with stakeholders. It's a clarification. Currently, 18.2 says scope access land is subject to public access servitude in favor of the local municipality within whose area of jurisdiction it is situated. and in terms of which members of the public may use that land to gain access to restricted public property. The two problems with that is, in certain instances, the access, the land itself would be owned by the municipality, who would then give itself a servitude in favor of itself, and in fact the servitude should be in favor of the public, because it's close to public access. So we propose deletion of in favor of the local municipality and just say close to access land subject to public access servitude, in terms of which members of the public may use that land again.
Is there a definition of public access servitude? Or is it commonly known?
It's a commonly understood term. It needs to be, we can define it, we'll just have to...
Well, have a look at that, because I'm not... You know, it makes it clear it's public servitude in terms of the local municipality. So, it means the municipality got the servitude to go over someone's property for people to have access to it. That's what it meant in its original wording. Now, I'm just nervous if you just say public access servitude, that it won't have any meaning. Because there's another act that has that says a public access servitude means this. Well, that's fine. We can refer that to that. But I think if we're going to take out the local government part,
we
may lose something that may have nothing there. Okay.
We'll reset the word and check.
Okay. 19. There's nothing. 20. There's nothing. 21. There's nothing. 23, there's 2, there's nothing. 23, there's nothing. 24, there's nothing. Then we come to the inimical 25, which is what I was trying to read under 16, but it's actually set false. That is on page
30.
Yeah, the bottom of 29.
Yes.
Western Cape Province agree with the proposed amendments, but would like the suggestion to be included in the amendments for the following. Most cases, this will be done by means of overlay zones. So they're substituting the need for regulation with some other mechanism. What other mechanism? What other mechanism?
They actually don't specify that, but they give a suggestion that we must allow municipalities to manage these.
I think that we can't do.
Yeah,
let's keep it regulations.
Disagree
25B. Yeah, regulations do that. Section 25B. B. S5B. There is no 25B. There's 25.1.2.3.4. Okay. Any MC must. And the MC must. Okay, so it's one actually.
Yeah.
You agree with their proposal of KwaZulu-Natal. What are they agreeing with? What are you adding?
I think in essence they've got a long explanation here, but they seem to be worried about the situation where people have vacant land, for example, or they have property that is already very close to public property, for example. And if an MEC creates the setback or management line, whatever you want to call it, beyond which development can't occur, for whatever reason, they don't want to create shadow on the beach, or you know, they want to create a buffer zone, etc., in that province to counter the effects of the rain, etc. That management line could potentially go right across somebody's property. It could potentially go across vacant land which they have a right to develop on by following the proper processes, or it could go through somebody's dining room, for example, and it would not make sense. So, in order to address that, they haven't given us a proposal. What we've tried to do was put in as a criterion, very broad stroke, a proposed mu 1a, which is on the next page in gray, which says when establishing total management lines in terms of subsection, the MET must consider location of immovable property, the ownership and zonation of vacant land, so that those bits of rights don't get he doesn't draw a line across them.
I'll accept what you say there. Tell me to what does the ownership refer to? The ownership of vacant land?
Yeah, the people that have bought plot, they haven't yet developed on it. If he puts a setback line across one of these vacant plots, not taking into account, when doing the modeling for setback lines and all kinds of process and so forth, but they can, when they take into consideration that they are vested rights within this particular area, which is...
My idea is a technical thing.
Yes.
You see, it says the location of immovable property, comma.
Yes.
Then it says the ownership and zonation of vacant land.
Yes.
So is it an and? Do you look at the location of the immovable property plus the ownership and zonation of the land?
Yes.
So then it would be an and.
Okay. That's right.
The ownership and zonation. Correct. Of the land. Yeah. All right. Now, I'm taking it from you. I don't know how that works. I'm taking that those wordings are good enough otherwise. Any comments then? Anything? Seems fine. Can a coastal management line and development setback line be the same on a map, albeit serve different purposes? The province of Utah currently have PA development setback line. Yes, they can be the same line, albeit for different purposes. PA is view of environmental impact. So, it's a question you just answered, so we don't have to do anything about that. There is an interpretation conflict between the EIA regulations and the ICM Act in relation to construction.
Just that the term is not used here, folks.
Okay. Clause 17, section
27.
So 26, there's nothing. 27, there's no comment.
Oh, there is one for 27.
There's a lot of amendments.
No, okay, there is a suggestion for 27. Western Cape has said the minister must, not the grammatical error, but the second one, that the minister must not only take into account natural influences, but also anthropogenic processes. Should this not be explicitly stated as a criteria? And they want us to add it, we agree with it.
You rearrange it, you put any potential,
Well, you actually can't do it that way, the E and E and F, but we'll renumber it.
Insert. So that's the same thing, it just tells you technically how you do it. Okay, so we agree with Western Cape's suggestion there. Grammatical error. We disagree. And then you agree with the other one, which you put in. Okay. Anything else under that section? Except for the Western Cape thing. 28? 28 is nothing. 28 is nothing. 29 is nothing. 30 is nothing. 31 is nothing.
31
is.
There's the heading.
You'll just change the heading.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, that's not a problem.
33 is the next one.
That's 31, yeah. Okay, so this one is 3. Then 19, which is 35, 36, 37.
So there's something that the department picked up on 33. Yes, which is a national FN management protocol. If you see 33.2, it currently says that the minister must prescribe a national FN management protocol in conjunction with the Minister of Water Affairs, or responsible for water affairs, assuming that that portfolio may change in the future. The problem that was with the word prescribed, because it is defined as prescribed by regulation. The National Estuary Management Protocol, as you would have noticed, is
it's a separate
regulation.
Legislative instrument.
So we just want to do that by publishing by notice in the Gazette. if it's more accurate. There was something else as well. You specifically asked us to look at enforceability of the National Insurance Management Protocol, and it's proving more tricky than anticipated initially. Our attempt at doing that is the extension in 33.4, and there's an A and B. We think that the minister must report to the National Postal Committee non-compliance with the annual report submitted contemplated in 34.4. I just need to go to 34.4. We've got in 34, we've added in, sorry, I should have gone to 34 first, it sounded a bit funny, but because of the system of the second, we tried to make a reporting requirement on two things. One, they must ensure that their relevant legislation is enacted, and two, that they must report to the minister on an annual basis about implementation of this legislation. And that's in the proposed new 34, which is on the next page. It says, responsible body contemplated in 33E who develops an SRAM management plan must, and it's added one, ensure that relevant legislation is enacted to implement an SRAM management plan, and two, submit an annual report to the Minister on implementation of the SRAM management plan, the legislation, and any other matter which the Minister may prescribe. It's merely reporting because we can't think of an appropriate legal mechanism to enforce intergovernmental compliance apart from what already exists within the Intergovernmental Framework Relations Act.
No, it's a simple one. You ask them, you report it to Parliament.
Okay.
And I'll call them again. So put in there somewhere that this 33.4, the Minister must report to the National Committee. Put it in another clause that says, and you know, must also then report to Parliament or table in Parliament the same information. This the non-compliance of annual reports plus the failure to comply with the obligation
in the plan.
To obligation to. So those things must also be reported to Parliament, tabled in Parliament, and then we in Parliament can then call them and ask them what the hell are you doing.
Those are the primary amendments with regard to 33.
Did you see that the responsible body who develops is and follow public plan must follow that, ensure that the implementation is enacted? So there's a committee that exists.
That is the committee that you told us to bring back into the legislation,
yes.
We're getting to now,
yes.
35 and so forth. So that's the committee which that report would have to go to. Because they also report to
Parliament. But they must also report to Parliament.
Which is what you're going to do with next.
Oh, is it next? So, Minister, as far as she's there is concerned, when it comes to those places, she'll report to us. Okay, so you say 34 and 33 is now sorted out.
Yes, yes.
Then 35 and 36, the committee.
Yes.
Now tell me this committee you wanted to...
Take away.
TG. You take away the wrong committee, then you increase the wrong committees. You want to create agencies for waste, and then you want to take this away. Out. DG, why would you take this committee away?
Chair, we had a practical problem of a challenge of being unable to comply with the law on the structure. NIMA initially established a committee called a Committee for Environmental Coordination. And because the department simply did not come to the meeting, then we were, as a department that is responsible for the implementation of the law, but then in transgression. So we then thought that we needed to have a different outline of that coordination using them, the NIMAX and MINEX team has initial typical structures and the political structure. And maybe what we then can still keep is the report to the committee, but not on the actual committee. We're going back to Parliament, the report on that.
Don't you think that something like the Coast, which has so many role players involved, I mean, municipalities, whatever, isn't it better for us to have a structure where we can make sure that these things happen and people are held to account and that, you know, then we can create, from that structure, we can create a proper reporting to Parliament. So that we can then deal with all the coastal problems that we have through that structure. But I think if we just leave it in the, you know my attitude. When it comes to your department performing certain things, I want you to do it, not an agency. But when it comes to something that is not yours, whether the municipality has got a role, and we need something to put it together. Otherwise, the minister is in a completely weak position, because what she does is she must now liaise with every single coastal municipality and every single entity that has powers and have that kind of different relationship, so you have that kind of relationship. Whereas if we have a very streamlined structure where we can call these people together. Sorry. This seems to me, it gives us a potential to at least try and then hold them to account in a legislative structure. Otherwise, it's just a relationship between minister and them. It's the only thing that exists. And if they don't want to have a relationship with the minister, they just don't have a relationship.
No, I understand, Chair. I mean, with hindsight, now that you've raised, and with a little bit of experience, maybe we still need to keep the structure. Our assumption was that if we have a report, Parliament in any case is empowered to then call the party to account.
But then we have to see again, we then have to have a relationship with every single municipality,
yeah.
Every single province that has a coastal thing, where at least if we can get it somewhere and then from there try and see how we need to make interventions.
So we'll
have a look at this. Let me just see it. It consists of within each
36 with a composition chart.
And I see you created provincial coastal committees.
It's a national one. That's a challenge. The question is, Chair, if people don't, if those departments do not participate in the structure, what then?
All right, let's, on this one, chapter 5, let's flag this for more engagement. Let's have a look at this. Maybe we don't want to keep this structure, but maybe I must look at it, but I see there's now provincial. Where are the provincial ones created?
The ministers create them and they submit to the minister the composition.
39, those are already functioning.
So all the provincial ones have got the structure and say the way of reporting national.
Okay, let me first read properly through the chapter. I think all members, let's have a look at this. And then we can see how we try and... But, I'm loath to create agencies, but I'm also loath where it's not our work, with others, not to have a structure at all. So maybe what we should do is give us some time to look at that. Which chapter? This is chapter 5. Okay. Well, I think what we're going to do is we're going to stop there. What I suggest now is just so members can be aware, we have now got an agreement with Mineral Affairs and with the two departments. I saw them yesterday. That we will receive a briefing, a joint briefing. And I'm going to ask the NCOP's two committees to also be present, so we four committees present, to take a joint briefing from, or a triple briefing from DRDY and Mineral Mineral Affairs, on this whole trying to get this relationship between mineral and so on and the synchronization. Remember, there's two things. There's been a continuous fight who should be doing this, and this battle has never been won, and each party, their differences of opinion in it. I know in the ANC, there's definitely differences of opinion. So this thing has never been sorted out, and 208 legislation was passed, which was never implemented. So what we want to try and do now is they've come up with an agreement how this thing will be dealt with. But part of, very much part of the agreement is to make sure that the processes are synchronized and integrated. So that in the end of the day, you don't stare yourself to death on who's doing it. You're making sure that there's certainty on how it's going to be done. And there's a lot of work being done that lesser things will be done in 140 days and more will be done in 300 days. Now, to do all that, you need to amend all three pieces of legislation, and you need to amend the regulations of all three. So I've asked them on the 11th, they must come to us and have a triple briefing, and then they must come and tell us, firstly, the history and so on, firstly, there's one input on that. They must come with this thing, three inputs. One input on that, on all the things of what had happened and where and so on, and what the agreements are. Then I want them to specifically say to us, now to reach these agreements, these are the things we're amending in NIMA, these are the things we're amending in the Water Act, these are the things we're amending. And then I want them to come here with amendments to the regulations itself. Okay, it's unusual, but for us to see that the agreement is what it is, it's no use we can just take an input and accept that. Because we would want to tie that agreement down and make sure that if it's amended, they must first come to Parliament next time. Because if it's in regulations, they can just, the next minister can just, and the next DG can just remove it, then the whole agreement falls flat. So I wanted all of them to come together, all of us to bind everyone into one process, and so that all of us can agree that this will give us that synchronized process. Okay, so there we're going to start on the 11th with that, okay? On the 10th, depending on how many submissions we receive on SOARs, on the 10th we want to do public hearings on SOARs. Okay? Now the backup for the 10th and 11th is the ICM vote. Okay, so whatever time is available on the 10th and 11th, we'll fill with the ICM. So they have to be ready. So what has to happen now is you have now four chapters that we've given you instructions. Here and there, there's not a full instruction. We had to go and check up things and so on. So you'll be able to now clean up those four chapters and give us a version of this was the yellow introduced, and this is the green that you've now agreed that you want to amend. And this is, you didn't agree, but this is the amendments we bring in play or whatever. So those will be the three types of amendments for the first four chapters. We'll go and have a look at a fifth chapter just to see, go through the technical stuff, and have a chat to DG and see how we can fine-tune that fifth chapter. And then the sixth chapter is where we'll keep on where we're doing now. So we continue what we're doing. But get all the work done now for the first four chapters so it's clean and ready, okay? So that will be for us on the 10th and the 11th. Source public hearings, if there is, but if there's only one or two, there shouldn't be controversies this time, then we may want to continue with ICM. And then the briefing, I don't necessarily think we'll do ICM on the 11th, because I think those other briefings will be quite substantial, but at least be available for those 2 days if we need to, as a backup, okay? And then the following week is a committee week, and the first 2 days we'll use for whatever public hearings on the other bills, on the protected and the air quality, the public hearings. Probably not waste, because we're still waiting for the Waste Act. It's not been introduced yet. But the Research Act should be introduced today from water, the research thing, whatever it's called. So those 2 days, the 17th and the 18th, we'll use for whatever public hearings there are. And then the 19th, we want to have a big thing on that day, because we want the Department of Water in the morning to come and report to us on National Water Strategy and the policy review process they finish with now. so that we can see what the policies are. And then the afternoon is the state of report. Remember, we couldn't take that briefing. I think that briefing is vital for us to take because it gives us a good indication of how bad things are. Okay? So those are those 2 weeks. Those are the only 2 weeks we'll be sitting. Then the recess kicks in. And then when we come back, we'll do the BRR reports, you know. We'll do 1 day water, 1 day environment. I'm not going to waste time. 1 day water, 1 full day environment. Those two departments, I've already told the two GGs, must draft the reports that come out of that 1 day hearing so that the next week we can pass it. And then the rest of that term will be legislation to try and keep processing this stuff. There is one issue that I thought we must try and fit in is Minister thought that we should, when we get this policy review in water, that like we had public hearings for the National Water Research Strategy, it may be worth us having public hearings on that policy review so that people can comment on it, have some public input into it. So I'm going to try and see if we can fit it in now, but definitely if we don't, we'll do it in the new year. And then the other thing I'm looking at, the Parliament is going to adjourn on the 7th, on that Friday, the first week of November. What I'm trying to look at, we can't wait for that Rhino thing to come to next year. So I'm going to try to get 2 or 3 or 4 days when Parliament is adjourned. I'm going to get permission for us to have that Rhino workshop. DG and I'm checking for us if there's accommodation available in some reserve somewhere so that we can do it there. There we are. See, I like my DGs. Now, D. Kruger is also better because people can then travel and they can, because we're not going to pay for their costs, just for the committee's costs. So I'm only worried about accommodation for us and a venue for us. Then we'll invite these stakeholders and they want to come, they must pay for themselves, be part of it and so on. So there's hotels around Kruger that they can go to and things like that, and they can go to guest houses and stuff. I also want us to use some time there to go look at the fence thing. So it won't just be a workshop, it will be a bit broader than the workshop. I'm going to look at the fence stuff and all those kind of things. So to take a few days in that period to try and get permission for that. So you must please start drawing up an application for us for that. Okay? DG, remember I want Fundi to start working on it in terms of the program. And I also wanted him to make sure, and the discussion you and I had and him in Thailand, that I want to see if you guys can get funding or sort out that we can get some of our MPs from the rest of Africa. Remember we discussed we want some MPs from Kenya, Tanzania, who are very vital to this, and Namibia at least. They're very vital. We can have Mozambique as well. Yes, Mozambique. I was just thinking of just rhinos, but because of the problems of Mozambique, so we can be part of those issues. So Mozambique, in fact, if the countries around us get invited, it's easier for them to get there. I mean, they are part of our problem. But that Kenya, and they are important in terms of our position at CITES. So one Kenya and Tanzania to be there as well. So DG, I'm going to leave that up to you to see that if you guys can get that kind of funding and start an arrangement. It's probably easier for you to try and do it through some of these rhino owners and things and so on. Who will invite then is ourselves and all the government structures involved. Like we had at the last workshop, the police, border control, all those people in government. And then we'll have these international people, and then we'll invite the usual people that play a constructive role, even if they disagree with us, but play a constructive role. Your NGOs that are playing. Those Malikis, like the last lady that came, that was completely just, you mustn't touch a rhino, and if there was a rhino touch, you must burn the horns and stuff. Look, that kind of discussions, I think, we've passed. So we don't just, like, if it's on the trade thing, if people disagree, we want to invite them because we want to engage on that debate. But the complete Malikis, we're going to so we're going to try and do that. And the way I'm thinking of structuring it is to cover all the issues. DJ, maybe you can say to him, like, this is how I want to do the program. What I'm thinking of is on the first day or so, to get some of the kind of old veterans, like Dr. Player, and people like that, to come and address the meeting in the beginning. I'm thinking particularly Dr. Player, because he started this issue of the rhinos and how problematic it is that we don't have the training. So I want people that are in the conservation area to come and give us, so maybe start with him. Then I want us to break up into commission and things. Well, we'll have inputs but and commission. So what I want us is to deal with all the major areas. So law enforcement is one category together. What is government doing about all these what have they been doing since our last workshop about law enforcement? So we'll give space for those inputs, okay? Now when those inputs come, then we'll go into commissions and then say, and give the stakeholders a chance to say, but you haven't done enough, you haven't done this. So out of the law enforcement, what can we do to make things better? Then we look at all the kind of things we're doing around, say, DNA, and how do we build our herd? You know, that kind of stuff. Put it in a category. Say what government's been doing, how far we've gone with DNA, and so on, so on, so on, stockpiles and things. And say that category. And then we say, okay, now we go into a commission. We give all those stakeholders a chance to say, we want this to be done better, and so on. So we get that. So under all the different categories, internationally, MOUs, and what are the international stuff we've done? Have it as a category. We say, this is what we've done. We've got MOUs with this and this and this, and we're still working at this. What else? And let people then engage in that. And then the next day, maybe that will be 2 days even, then the next one whole full day will just be a discussion around how do we deal with our Achilles heel, the existence of a black market. So we won't emphasize the legal stuff. We'll say, what are your proposals on how do we deal with the black market? How do we break this black market? Then all the issues like legal trade and all that can come in, and people can come with proposals. So the main part, we'll give a whole day to that, okay? And the other issues, we'll just break into commissions, say, over 2 days, so people have a chance. So we deal with all aspects of rhinos, but we focus on this. And then the third component, as I said, we're going to have to look at the fence, because that will be part of the international stuff, part of that input, okay? How are we doing with the fence? What are we going to do about that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's the kind of workshop I'm thinking of over, say, 3-4 days, plus 1 or 2 days of doing other things, looking at fences and things and how they do their patrols and, you know, all the kind of practical stuff. We can have a look at that as well. We'll try and see to what extent we can engage with other stakeholders in that. I'm not sure whether there's going to be space or whether it will just be the members, but we'll see. But that is the kind of plan I want to draft it up, okay? And then the only thing that's left over then, I've already started gathering a list of the kind of people that have been playing a constructive role in this, like NGOs, WWF, I've got all those. And I asked Fundisi to do some of Fundisile to do some of that. So we'll then draft up that list. So try and get all that stuff ready. You do the application ready. Let's try and get it so that we target this date for the first week of when we adjourn. Okay? Anyone want to add to that? Or we'll look at the proposal when it comes. Mr. Rogers?
Sure. I don't know how far our mandate extends, but one of the challenges we obviously have is the demand on the Asian market. Is there nobody from Asia that's involved in this problem that can perhaps join them? That could perhaps raise that and...
We can see, we'll look at that, but what I do have is that when I, at the last budget for debate, I bumped into some of these chappies at WWF. And what they've done is they've done a whole piece of research work. Someone did it for, I think Traffic did a piece of research work on the consumption patterns and stuff. And he was telling me some interesting things out of that demand side stuff. So we'll see to what extent we can get some of that information. Some of it may just be, I know there's a lot of documentation on it, reports on it, which we will get. But something like that, they will come in any case to the meeting, so we'll then give them space to give that kind of input. But once we've got the program, we'll obviously be open. Is there any other people you know? The big things cost. I mean, we just don't have a budget as a committee. So if it is, we'll have to get someone like the department or someone like the Rhino Fraternity to fund someone like that to come here. But if it's worth our while, we'll look at all those options. We'll look at all those things. Okay. Everyone happy with that? So you've got the program. Those 2 weeks when we come back, we'll adjourn today now for until those 2 weeks. And then the next term you've got your program. Did you got your marching orders?
Yes.
The only thing that's open, left open now, is the policy review issue, which will be a briefing on the 18th, But whether there's public hearings, we'll see if we can fit it in this year. So that's the only thing that's left open. No, not your white paper, it's water.
Water
policy review is the only thing. No, we've done yours, so you've got certain things you had to do. The one thing I wanted you guys to look at is you must explain to us to what extent has slum been fully dealt with under that. Secondly, to what extent have we covered marine mining, offshore mining, that stuff in the paper? And if we haven't, shouldn't we be strengthening that? Then the third thing was that you guys would bring back that paper to us before you publish it. So it won't necessarily be public hearings, but at least you'll come and tell us what you've changed. And then the other thing that we had needed an input before you do all that stuff is that Treasury was doing a budget for this thing. And we needed an input on the budget. So all that stuff I'm kind of listed for next year, the beginning of next year that we do that. Of course, all of us waiting how far you guys are going to get on. But the issue of the marine mining and that, I thought we hadn't really covered a long time. And the slum, I wasn't sure. Everyone was saying slum now covers these things. But I wasn't sure to what that we integrate. Because that's our biggest problem, is building along the coast. So to what extent has that now been properly covered in the document? And then, of course, the input on the budget are the three things. If you look at our program, you'll see all four of those things are listed there on the program, the new one that Shreka has given out.
Actually, the change would have been, if you had the committee at time, it would have been good to invite those other youth departments to a session where we discuss the policy and exactly how they see themselves, just to manage, especially transport, mining, and energy, those key departments.
Well, look, I don't know what your time frame is.
And
I don't know how fast you want to move on this thing. If we do have, if there is a chance to have further hearings, we do it next year, the beginning of next year, that's fine. I don't think there'll be space to do it this year legislation-wise. I think, for me, the important part of all this is the work by Treasury. Because to have a policy, they're going to be walla, 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 and you don't have a budget with it. Because, you see, that's how you draw in the other departments. Treasury must now make sure that they draw in transport and say to them, okay, look at this policy. What are the cost implications of this for the free? Treasury must draw in, so that is the way you draw into this and make sure that then Treasury can say, but transport can say, but you haven't got all the policies on transport, marine transport yet. You've left this and this out. So for me, I think, and we said this during the hearing, I don't think you were there. During the hearing, I did say to them with this budget thing that we wanted an input before this white paper becomes a white paper. And that's exactly the reason I said in the meeting, was that what's important now for the department is to get together with Treasury and you guys draw the other departments into that costing thing. Yeah. To try and make sure that happens. Because that will make it easier for us also then to have them on board later, because else they may come there completely fresh and not have looked at the thing, okay? All right, any other issues anyone wants to raise? That seems fine. We've got our marching orders for the next 2 or 3 weeks. Lovely. Just one last thing. I was called to a meeting the other day the Whippery wanted to debate our report on DIA, our budget report. So I said, but, we've debated this thing. I mean, we've had full public budget votes. That report was then already, some of us spoke to that report. I mean, I quoted from that report. I said, this thing's finished for us. We don't want to have a further debate. It's gone. All we want you to do is pass the thing and make sure that, that whatever recommendations are in there are sent to the department. But as far as we're concerned, we've had a debate. Mm-hmm. Now I see on the order paper they've got all these budget votes reports. They've got all of them on the order paper. It just seems crazy to me. The votes have been held. Mm-hmm. The budget has been passed. Mm-hmm. What are we wanting to debate further? Anyway, it's just that you're aware what I said. I said to them, as far as I'm concerned, you must just pass that for us and we don't need further debate. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, those are all the issues. Thank you.
Thank you.